So we are going to convene our special meeting, and we had a closed session, and we do have a report out of closed session by the city attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, council members. Council met in closed session on one item, and that was Santa Maria Valley water litigation, and by unanimous vote authorized the retention of Louis Brisba, Bisgard, and Smith. In principle, the agreement in detail will be brought to you at the next council meeting.
Thank you very much. So I will now close the special meeting, and I'm going to call to order our city council meeting. First of all, thank you, all of you, for waiting. We're a little bit late tonight. That's one of maybe the first, so thank you for waiting. And it is 6:36, July 21st, 2014, and I guess we'll start with a moment of silence, then we'll have a flag salute. Students are on summer break, so we'll have Councilmember Bright do the flag salute. Oh, let's stand you for a moment of silence, and then we'll go for the flag salute. Thank you.
If you'll please join me. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could we have roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. And we may have closed session announcements or not from the last council meeting 2 weeks ago. City Attorney?
Certainly. Thank you, Honorable Mayor, council members, members of the public. On Monday, July 7th, City Council, as City Council, met in closed session on three items. First one was anticipated litigation, one potential case. Second one was Santa Maria Valley water litigation. Third one was real property negotiators with regard to the Pacifica companies. And after convening to open session, it was announced there were no reportable actions taken. Council also met in closed session as successor agency on one item, and that's existing litigation, Vernon versus City of Grover Beach. After reconvening into open session, it was also announced that there were no reportable actions taken at that closed session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next thing on our agenda is the agenda review, and this is the time that we will review the order of business to be conducted, and we will receive requests for and make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Do we have any requests or changes from staff or the council? Okay. In that case, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Oh. I'll second that.
Moved by Councilmember Bright, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Lee. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Alrighty, unanimous. We will
chairperson D. Santos to come up too, also, and she would like to also say a few words about Ellie.
I just want to say that it's been such an hour, an hour. It's only an hour, but it's such an honor to have served with this young lady. Talk about a person who's high energy. You can't get any higher than this. She was always smiling. She had a business here in Grover. Anything you needed done, Ellie would do it. She'd raise her hand first before any of the rest of us. So an awesome person. Ellie, we're going to miss you, but we know that you can come back and help us on different events. We'd love to have you. So you're just moved a little bit, but you're still close. Okay? And thank you for all your service. Well deserved. Thank you.
So don't go away yet, because I'd like the whole council to come out and give Ellie a hug.
And a picture.
And a photo.
That's a nice picture. Very nice.
It's been an honor and privilege to have been a part of Grover Beach for as long as I have, and I plan to be a part of it, even though I don't live here, many more years. Thank you.
Very nice.
think we have Ellie's family here, too. Looks like two daughters and a fiancé out there. Thank you for coming and for sharing her with us. Next on our agenda, we have public communications. Now, this is the time when any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest that is within the jurisdiction of the council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. Now, if you have anything that you wanted to say this evening that is not on our agenda, lady, later, now is the time to do that. If you're coming to speak with us about something that is on the agenda, we'll give you an opportunity before that item comes up, and we'll announce it so you'll know when that is. I do have one speaker request for public comment, and that was Fred Fink. Is Fred out there? And if you can give us your city of residence, too, that would be great.
I live in Pismo Beach. Okay. So I haven't come too far. I'm Fred Fink, and I'm a representative from Slow Clean Energy. And I'm here tonight to invite the mayor, city council, staff, and your constituents to a public workshop to be held this Thursday at the San Luis Obispo Library to learn about forming a community choice aggregation here in our area. You were first introduced a few months back to the idea of community choice aggregation when we visited here, and Slow Clean Energy is very excited to see it growing so quickly in other counties. It is fully operational now in Marin and Sonoma counties and is being studied in Santa Barbara, Monterey, Santa Cruz, and other California communities. Right now, fully 5% of the United States is under a community choice aggregation plan. 60% of the state of Illinois, including the entire city of Chicago and local rural areas, are under a community choice aggregation energy plan. At our meeting on Thursday, Cordell Stillman, who is the director of the program in Sonoma, who formed it and is now running it, will be our guest and will share how it's working in Sonoma and how it got started. So why should you care? Why should you go Thursday? We have PG&E, and it seems to be working just fine. I want to make clear that this is not a program to replace or avoid PG&E. In fact, if you go to PG&E's website, under the information they share, it explains what CCAs are and how PG&E works actively with CCAs to carry electricity through its lines, to provide billing and meter reading, and to solve energy outages. As you know, by state law, we are required to have more renewable energy. Why not make that energy controlled locally to bring in local jobs and keep revenue here rather than going to investors? So again, I'd like to invite you to hear Cordell Stillman share how the program is working in Sonoma today. Let's not be the last county in the state where clean power controlled locally and delivered at a lower cost is working. I urge you to come Thursday at 6:30 to learn more. And I'll even make sure there's a few cookies available for you.
Can you tell us where it is again?
It's at the Slow County Library, the Slow City Library, in their, I don't know what the room's called. They have a room right outside the library for community activities, and the meeting will be from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and we are inviting every single city council and the Board of Supervisors and staff and constituents to come to this meeting. So we hope you'll have at least one member attend and maybe more.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Fred.
Hi, Bill.
What do you have a website we can look at prior to going to the meeting?
Yeah, slowcleanenergy.com.
Slowcleanenergy.com.
Okay. We also have a Facebook page where you can go there and like us and keep up to date on what we're doing.
Okay.
Thank you.
I've been following this one for many years and have been quite impressed.
There's free lunches that are available for all the children here in our area with no identification required. If you'll check with the California Department of Education, or I have a website if you want to go to there at noon, generally during the week. And they're spread out enough that none of our children need to go hungry this summer, even though our lunch program might not be taking care of them. So just so everybody's aware of that. Now, I have two requests and a challenge for all the board members and residents, as well as the property owners of Grover Beach, a.k.a. Grover City. The first request is to the city directly. I request that the city of Grover Beach put their creative minds together and find a way to make some money off the hundreds of thousands of dollars of vehicles that drive down Grand to the sand. I might sound like a broken record, but I'm going to stay a broken record, okay? On that note, I know that you cannot complain or bring up an issue unless you have a resolve or at least a harebrained idea. So here's mine. Upon issuing fireworks permits to the nonprofit organizations, let's let them know that Grover Beach is going to be present at all venues to produce additional revenue for the town of Grover Beach and Grand to the Sand. Catchy, isn't it? I'm going to say it again, Grand to the Sands. First, I know you can, now it comes the tricky part. What are we going to sell? T-shirts, hats, flags? Everybody on the dunes needs a flag. Maybe buttons or bumper stickers, for that matter. Just let your imagination go wild, all right? Also, there's an event that's being propositioned tonight. Events like that maybe aren't part of the city, maybe we could make that part of the permit process as well, so we could take and capture some of that, those audiences. A friend of mine shot down this idea, telling me, you want the city to pay people to stand there and sell stuff? Well, no, I don't. I don't ask anybody to pay for it. But on that note, I do know some people that will volunteer their time 3 or 4 days before the fireworks. They've already told me they will, to be able to maybe save some tax dollars, maybe help pay for some of our streets. So on that note, I was also told that the profit might be $5,000. Which could be made off of an event. Okay, well, I don't believe that, but I've done the math, and I've calculated 5 years. The 15 years I've lived here would be around $75,000. I haven't seen the city of Grover Beach in the last 15 years that I've lived here try and make a dime off of the 4th of July. But everybody's ripping up our streets. I know the gas stations, I know the grocery stores are making a buck, but let's capture that. You know, one of my challenges here is to just go sit at the train station for an hour. Watch on a Friday how many $100,000, $200,000 motorhomes drive down the street. Just take an hour, check it out, and then go $20, $20, $20. See what happens. So on that note, I've done some math. It comes to a lot of money. I think that over that we could have done something at least for the fire station on 7th Street, just that portion there by the gas station, to fix that up with that money. And I don't have a problem paying my fair share. But I think we need to get creative. We have a lot of property owners that don't use the streets regularly like we do. They're vacation, you know. On my block alone, there's 3 houses that I see maybe once every 6 months. So keep that in mind as you get creative, okay? And get back to me on what you think after you spend that hour there. What do you think we could do? I have one last issue, and I'm going to be real quick here. I've spent some time with the panhandlers lately. You may have seen me. You might have waved to me sitting on the curb and thought, what is that woman doing? But I made friends with some of them. I wanted to know what their situation was. I wanted to know what people were offering them. I'll tell you, they made a lot of money on the 4th of July. Mm. A lot of money. They didn't snooze on it. I want to thank everyone who has helped me pick up trash on the PCH highway. Grover Beach City Limits to 22nd Street in Oceano. Larry, Mary, Louie, Jim. Anyone that has ever helped me, we've picked up trash over 120 times, and we're going to keep doing it. So I'm going to ask now for your help, because trash is a big issue, and I unfortunately get to see it a couple times. I bless the Kiwanis. They were out there just recently picking up the trash from the campers. Well, I personally get to see that trash from the visitors a couple times. First, I get to see it on the highway. Then I get to see it on my beach. I pick up as much as I can, and then I get to see it in the ocean where I love to fish. You should see what I see. It's really sad. So if we could do something to keep it from getting that far, that would be great. And everybody's little help bit helps. I see people out there in the mornings picking up trash. Thank you for doing that. Please, I'm begging of you now. I have been asking for the last month, trying to get to whoever I need to talk to on this matter. On a busy weekend like this weekend, The trash cans at the exit onto the dunes were full, overflowing, so the seagulls can't get to the trash. I appreciate you listening to me, and I don't mean to always come and complain, so I'm really trying to find some resolve, and I'm going to challenge every one of you here, please get back to me on this issue of the 4th of July and that potential permit. Talk about it. You know, I'm willing to help as best as I can, but I need you to help me, okay? Thanks much.
Thank you very much. Those are all really great ideas. Anybody else want to come forward from the public?
Good evening, council members. I'm Judith Bean. I'm with your Chamber of Commerce, and I just wanted to give you a little update on our Stone Soup Festival because it's coming up in a month. I'm really excited about it this year. We have a couple of new projects happening because Grover Beach, our Amtrak station, is so important to us. We're actually going to have a model train display this year at the Stone Soup Festival. And the other thing that's new this year is we're working with the Five Cities Diversity Coalition. They've created a project called the I Am Project, and basically we're going to create a flag that will be built throughout the weekend at the Stone Soup Festival, and you'll come and create that a little canvas piece, 9x12, finishing that sentence, I am, and basically we'll create a diversity flag at the Stone Soup Festival that will grow throughout the weekend. And then, of course, my favorite thing about the festival, other than the music, is the doggy parade. We have a Marty Paws doggy parade on Sunday morning, so hopefully you'll bring your dogs, dress them up in Mardi Gras colors, and go through the vendor footprint with us. This year we have trophies to give away for the best look-alike and the best Mardi Paws theme, so hope you'll be there. Our headliner this year is the hottest band out of San Francisco. They're called Afrolicious, so come out on Saturday evening and dance in the street to us at the Stone Soup Festival. Looking forward to seeing you then, and thank you very much for your support.
Thank you very much, Judith. Anybody else coming, wanting to come forward? Okay, seeing no one else, we're going to bring this back to the council. Ooh, that was noisy. And move into our first order of business when we get there, and that will be public hearings. And the first public hearing is the second reading and consideration of the adoption of the ordinance ordering the submission of a proposition of incurring bonded debt to the qualified voters of the city of Grover Beach at the general municipal election for the purpose of the acquisition, construction, and rehabilitation of street improvements. And our city attorney is going to be presenting this now.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, council members, members of the public, this is a follow-up to the item that was before you at the last council meeting. The item is here, as identified by the mayor, for a second reading and adoption of the ordinance. Along with that item, there are two resolutions which will assist in transmitting this item to the county registrar's office, recorder's office, and set priorities for rebuttals, set an argument, as well as request an impartial analysis from me, the city attorney. The issue has been dealt with by the council on numerous occasions. It's been before the public. We've discussed that the city streets are failing. There are no revenues from which to raise enough money to make a difference in the manner in which we have can deal with the streets effectively. Unless something is done within the six to 8 years, the average condition of the city streets will be failure. With your direction, we have employed two experts to assist us in recognizing the issue, quantifying it, and conducting a basically a presentation on how it can be dealt with from a standpoint of issuing bonds. The ordinance was fully read at the last meeting. Today it's before you for last consideration and final action. The ordinance would put the bond measure to the voters. The bond measure would request that the city is authorized to issue $48 million over a extended period of time. All of that money would be put into a separate account and used only for the repair of streets in the city. With us today is our expert consultant, Albert Pesci, and I will turn it over to him for a presentation on the adjusted rates that would be applicable if the bonds are approved by the voters. Basically, the rates are measured by $100,000 of assessed value on each property, and as you will shortly see, they will vary in the amount as the project moves forward. And with that, I'll turn it over to Albert.
Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. My name is Albert Bechet, and Mr. Peralt asked me to put together some calculations as to what it would actually cost taxpayers. We affect the tax rate of general obligation bonds. So there are various factors. The first is the assessed value growth of the city. So growth in assessed value allows for a lower tax rate as the tax rate gets spread over a larger base. Interest rates on the bonds when they are sold. Interest rates have a direct effect on debt service. So for calculation purposes today, we took current interest rates and we added a half a percentage point. So we think that's being conservative, and you'll see that the bonds will be issued over a number of years. And it's also important to note that the city's rating is going to come into effect. So the higher the rating, the lower the interest cost. So a rating is typically granted by three rating agencies. Those are Standard & Poor's, Fitch Ratings, and Moody's Investor Service. So you currently have ratings from Standard & Poor's on your former redevelopment agency bonds, which are controlled, of course, through the successor agency and the oversight board now. Okay, and that current rating is BBB+. So in my humble experience, I believe that your rating on a general obligation bond issue would probably be in the A category, which is a good rating. What's also important is the amount of the bonds that are issued and their maturity. So no one has ever contemplated going out and issuing $48 million worth of bonds in one fell swoop. There's a requirement that the bond proceeds be spent within 3 years. And also a large bond issue, I mean, it would be unlikely, impossible for the city to spend that much in 3 years. And also it would burden the taxpayers. So that's not what we're going to be doing. And we're looking at a maturity of 25 years. And that's a reasonable maturity. Some school districts I've seen going up to 40 years. We're going to keep it to 25 years. And that's what we estimate to be roughly the average life of the street. So with that, we looked at the city, and we got together with Mr. Peralt and Mr. Ray, and we said, give me an idea of when do you think you'll be issuing bonds, and how much would you be issuing? So this is an estimate of what the city would be issuing. So roughly three years, starting next year, 14-15, it would be a $5 million issue. That would actually hit the tax roll the following year. But you could see $5 million, then $6 million, $7 million, three times, and $8 million, coming up to $48 million. Again, that's going to vary. It could be after the first year, they say, you know, we can't really spend that much in 3 years. Let's look at a smaller amount over a longer period of time. So this is the best estimate of your public works department in terms of when they could, how quickly they could spend the proceeds. Okay. So what does this do? So right now we're assuming a 2.5% growth rate, which I believe is conservative because last year the city's assessed value grew 4.96%. So right now we're going to have a 2.5% growth rate for our modeling purposes. And these are the estimated tax rates per 100,000 of assessed value. So for example, in 2014-15, it would hit the tax rolls in 2015-16. The first year it would be $25 per 100,000 of assessed value. So if you had a $100,000 assessed value home or property, that would be $25. If your assessed value were $200,000, that would be roughly $50, and so on. Okay. Back it up. Thank you, Caleb. So in the second year, in the second series of bonds, because this schedule mirrors the prior schedule in terms of the issuance. So as we issue more bonds, the tax rate is going higher. But it's also getting spread over a higher assessed value base because we're having the base grow conservatively again at 2.5%. So after the second series of bonds, we would estimate the tax rates to be in the $52 to $49 range. And by the way, I debated whether or not to put 24, 25, 49, 52, but I did it this way because you could see that for example, the first year, $25, and then when the second, when the assessed value goes up 2.5%, it declines to $24. So this is actually in the first year of when those bonds, assuming the prior schedule, take effect. So after the second series of bonds, then the first year tax rate after the second series of bonds would be $52, and then it drops to $49 over the next year to 2 years before the next series of bonds come on, and then you'll see the $79 to $75. So in about 18 years, in 2033, you would see the maximum tax rate of 131, and that's what it would be that year, but it would grow to the following 2 years to $153. So that period of the maximum tax rate is only going to be for about 3 to 4 years. Okay. And then after the last series of bonds in 2033, 34, I just went ahead and put the last few years, it goes from $146 to $89. And then the last few years, it really just starts dropping off. Mm-hmm. So we would probably monitor the assessed value rolls to see what the tax rate would be. 2.5% growth in assessed value, which is, again, conservative. Last year, as I mentioned, it was almost 5%. In 14-15, we started issuing in 14-15, so it actually starts hitting the tax rolls in 2015-16. The tax rate would be $25. So after the last series of bonds, 2033-34, the maximum tax rate we estimate would be about $152, almost $153. And then the average, by the way, that $153 is that 1 year, which is also the maximum tax rate. The average tax rate of $80.57 over the life of the bonds. So the reason I put an asterisk there is that the assessed value for 2014-15, which is up and coming, is being prepared right now by the Auditor Controller's Office at the county. And, in fact, it is likely going to be in excess of 2.5%. So hopefully it'll be 3% or higher. What we would do then is put the actual assessed value into the new model to show into the model to show what the actual starting point is for 14-15 and then start projecting out. So if the assessed value is higher than 2.5%, these numbers are all also going to come down. Okay. Last question. So we're gonna wait for that, and then there's gonna be a tax rate statement that's gonna be generated that will be part of the ballot initiative. And we may also look at the growth rate to increase the growth rate, depending on how high the growth is for 2014-15. And with that, I would be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the council?
I just have thank you for that. Yes. So I just have a question or two. So going back to your fourth slide, I think it was.
Okay.
So the one with the issuance schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So you said we kind of the way you did the projection was to issue these over the course of 20 years.
That's
so,
about right.
Okay. I'm sorry, Gayla, the one before.
That one, yep.
So if we were to, because of progress and so forth with regards to how often or how much we could spend over the course of the three-year period, if, let's say, the last $8 million was actually in 2040, let's say,
okay.
So the corresponding max assessment would come down.
Exactly.
So, okay, so if that's kind of the best case, worst case, so to speak, if we can spend all of this money in 20 years, mm-hmm. so then it'd be that 152 would be the top.
That would be the top.
That would be the top. But if it took us 25 years, then that 152 would be something mm-hmm. lower.
Right. And that would also be the top, council member. That's a very good question. That'd also be the top because that's assuming it's a 2.5% growth in assessed value.
Right.
It was really almost double that last year. We're not going to go crazy and make projections of that for quite some time. I mean, that's going to continue. But I think we could possibly look at a growth rate of maybe 2.75% or 3%, depending on where the actual assessed value comes in this year.
Okay.
And then the other thing, as I'd mentioned, to be conservative, we took current interest rates, and nobody knows where interest rates are going to go. But what we did was we took current interest rates for an A-rated credit such as yourself, which I believe you would be for on a general obligation bond, and we added 0.5 percentage point to that. So we're conservative there as well. So in my opinion, I believe we're really going to be below all of those rates. But I'd like to see where the new assessed value comes in, if that's available by the county next week.
Okay. And then my second question may not be for Mr. Fache, but maybe more for the city manager. So on the dais tonight, you were able to provide kind of a current PCI condition. I don't know if this is the appropriate time to talk about it or put that up on the screen or represent it just to show.
Actually, what I would suggest, if it's okay with the council, is that any questions that you have, complete the questions for Mr. Pache, and then if you desire, we can take a look at the PCI condition map.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Councilmember Nichols.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that everybody understands that you have put up the figures which come out to $48 million. Mm-hmm. If we get these streets repaired, and we're very fortunate, and it doesn't cost us that much money, we are not going to issue bonds up to $48 million. If we get to $38 million and we have completed all of the work, there will be no further bonds sold. There will be no further indebtedness.
That is correct, Councilmember Nichols. Every time bonds are issued, a series of bonds, it will always come before the council. And those questions that I would assume would be asked is, okay, there would be questions for Public Works. Can we spend this money? What are we doing with it? What streets are going to be repaired? Then the question to me is, how does this affect the tax rate? But you are not obligated to issue any bonds.
Correct.
But you have the authority to issue up to $48 million bonds.
Correct.
So what
okay.
we would probably do, and it's called managing the tax rate, we would see where is assessed value growth. How is this going to affect the tax rate?
Okay, thank you.
Questions down here. Council?
That will be directly related to the bond issue, and that's where it will be placed.
Thank you. Yeah. City Attorney, did you have something to say? You look.
Whenever council is ready, we can.
Okay. I wanted to see if Council Member Marshall had a question.
I appreciate it. That was an excellent presentation. Thank you very much. No questions.
Great. And did you have more questions?
Not
related. And I had one or two questions. So what year, supposing we approve this evening, we go forward with it, it goes onto the ballot, it is voted in, what year will people start making those payments as part of their property taxes?
That's a very good question. So if two-thirds of the public approves the bond issue, it's likely that you would want to start issuing bonds in the latter part of 2014-15, mm-hmm. Say around March, and then it would go on the tax rolls for 2015-16. So the first time people would see it on their tax bill, assuming all the other things that I mentioned, would be they would start paying taxes on their December 10th tax roll for 2015 and then their April 10th tax bill for 2016, the 15-16 fiscal year.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And I'm not sure if this is your question or one for the city attorney, but as I speak with people about this, one of the concerns that they have is that most of them I think we've addressed, but one of them is, can funds be transferred out of the account that will be specifically for the bonds? Can those funds come out of that account and go anywhere else apart from the streets?
They are specifically going to be in a special account for streets. They can be temporarily borrowed within the fiscal year and replaced, but they have to be replaced within the same fiscal year. But that would be your decision whether you wanted to borrow from those funds. But that's my understanding of special funds. They would have to be repaid within the current fiscal year.
So they could be borrowed or replaced for anything?
Well, that would be up to you. You would have to – somebody would require – and specifically for streets and so forth. But are you asking me, can those funds be borrowed by the city?
Yes. One of the concerns that people have is that the funds go into the streets, and then I've had reports that people see it go into a specific file for a specific project, and then somehow they morph into other files, and they get transferred back and forth. And so I want to make sure that we can great.
Thank you, Mayor. The short answer is those funds are committed, and they can't be used for anything else with the few exceptions. And in order to borrow that money, since it's specifically allocated, you have to identify how it's going to be repaid within the specific period of time, which is a year. They have to be repaid in the same year. So basically, because this is a special tax, and because unlike the other revenue-generating measures, where it's a general tax and goes into general fund, and in those instances, yes, you control
where it goes. You know, the streets were an important issue. Most of it went on the streets. But you have the ability to say some of that money is going to be used for emergencies. Some of that money is going to be used to do this.
That's in a general
That's
fund.
In a general. That's mm-hmm. that's a 50% vote type of tax. This is a special revenue measure that requires two-thirds majority approval, and that money is specifically put into an account that can only be used, only be spent on street rehabilitation and construction.
May I yes. follow? So then if I may follow up on that, also according to the measure, there will be an oversight committee.
That is correct.
Of three people. So, and that oversight committee then would also weigh in on those types of transactions.
Well, the job of the Oversight Committee is to ensure and report to you that the funds are being spent in a manner that is consistent with the designated
okay.
authority.
So there would be three people who would not even be on the council. I'm looking at this because in 2034, I'm not going to be sitting on this council. So we all want to make sure that these funds are being spent the way that they're supposed to be. So... that is important. That's an excellent point, and so thank you.
The city has no option on in that regard, whether it's in 5 years or in 20 years. That restriction exists. It will continue. It's the only way we can get these funds. It's the only way we can legally spend them.
Thank you.
May I add one thing?
Sure.
Yeah, and thank you for clearing that up. But it's also important for tax purposes that these be set aside in a separate fund
right.
so that because you're going to be issuing taxes and bonds at a much lower interest rate. So the IRS will want you to track the interest earnings, which stay in that account. And it's important for each series, there'll be a new account for Series A, Series B, Series C, Series D. All of the Series A bonds, the funds are...
With that, I'll submit to any questions.
So, if we can complete this part of questions on the staff report, then we'll open it to the public. The public can make comments. If there are questions from the public, once everybody's asked their questions, we'll take those to staff and address those questions. So, I know, Mayor Pro Tem Lee, you had some further questions.
Just a couple questions. Thank you for that. In the staff report, and I think it's somewhere in the resolution, it says we're going to acquire... where is that? So I know specifically it's in the first paragraph of the background, and it says, for the purpose of the acquisition, construction, and rehabilitation of street improvements. What are we acquiring as part of this?
This is a term of art. The capital improvement bonds are issued for those specific purposes. Acquisition per se is probably a misnomer here, but basically what city is acquiring is an asset.
Okay. So we are
getting a new street system, and, sure. and that is an acquisition of an asset.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And then this one's a real nitpicky one. And I apologize for not asking it to you beforehand. The resolution, which is part of attachment 2, which is the resolution of the City Council setting priorities for filing, one. On the second page, there's a sentence, third line, and a copy will be mailed at no cost to you. So is that just standard language, or can we just say a copy will be provided at no cost to you? And the only reason I ask that is some people may prefer an email copy or some other fashion. Like I said, that's just more of a wordsmithing. I don't know if that's a term that's part of our code somewhere, or if it matters.
No, I think that's a good point.
I think the verbiage is directly from the election code, and I would recommend leaving it as written. Obviously, anyone who wishes to acquire a copy through other means that are within reason can come in and obtain it.
Okay. Good point. Any other questions? Oh, sorry, did you have one more?
It's just more of and I don't know if it becomes a comment. I know before the public has a chance to weigh in on this item, I'd love to see the map showing the current PCI conditions of the streets. That's as part of the...
Certainly, Gayla. The map is presented, and just a little bit about what those colors mean. If I'm not mistaken, the blue means that they are actually streets that are in good condition, And the two colors that you see predominantly there are the orange, which is a which means the streets are actually in a poor condition with a rating. Remember, the PCI rating is based on a scale of 0 to 100, with 100 being the best and 0 being the worst. And the orange-colored streets are basically those streets that are rated as poor, and 25 to 49. And those that are in red are actually those that are very poor, which are 0 to 25. So the reality is, as you look at this map, the majority of our streets are, as has been indicated in the past, poor or very poor condition.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for showing that. And then that was kind of really my reason for asking for it, is to visually show mm-hmm. how many of our streets are in need of repair or rehabilitation. So thank you.
That's great. Down here, any questions of staff? I had one question really related to what might be helpful for folks to understand this, or a couple on that one. Firstly, I'd been approached by Marsha Bulyanitz, who came to a meeting some time ago and said, I'll be there to help you with this when you get there. And she is. I spoke with her a few days ago, and she requested three or four different things that the city manager said he's going to make available that folks can use to understand better. And one of them was, which streets have we repaired recently, which was a list we talked about two meetings ago. Another one was the 0.5% sales tax. There's been some confusion about whether that was supposed to be for streets or not. And so I actually dug up the ballot statements from 2006, and it was very clear in the ballot that it was going into the general fund, that yes, it could be used for streets, but it could be used for emergency services or anything that's needed out of the general fund to keep the city running. It would be good for people to see that, because that's caused some confusion. The third one was, of course, how the sales tax was used, and then this drawing of the streets, I think, or this diagram of the streets, that their current conditions really help.
The following 4 years, 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2011, in each of those 4 years, $240,000 was spent on the streets. The remainder was spent for on equipment and general fund purposes, and that's a variety of different general fund purposes. Then we hit 2012, and the council had a difficult decision to make. We were facing a recession and a reduction in overall budget that was fairly significant, from almost $8 million to less than $7 million in general fund operating revenues. The decision that was made at that time for a temporary number of years to terminate actual street improvements funded through the general fund. And then the expenditures were focused on equipment purchases and general fund expenditures. It actually obviated deficit spending. It helped us avoid deficit spending. Otherwise, we probably would have found ourselves to the tune of about $500,000 upside down in those intervening years. So it was beneficial that we, council and the city, had it available to use for those purposes.
Thank you. The other thing on helping people to understand is, and this is a small point, but if someone's property is worth, say, $470,000, not four and not five, is that prorated, or do they just figure it on the 100,000 mark?
It is prorated.
It's prorated. Okay. So I'm wondering if we could put together some kind of a tool to help people figure out when they would have to start paying and how much it would be. It doesn't have to be an actual computer tool or application, but just something that we could explain how they can figure out what they might be paying. Because that's what's frightening people. It's the thought of $48 million, and It's been out there that it's going to average $165 per 100,000, and we're nowhere near that. So I'm thinking it might be helpful to provide folks with some kind of a tool online. Not, we don't have to figure that out tonight, but just as a general principle.
Certainly, we'll have a list of frequently asked questions,
okay.
And that can be something that we can include on that list.
Thank you. And I was that where you were going with that? I thought I saw you maybe had a response.
No, Mayor, I was nodding to the effect that it's actually not on a it's on a prorated basis, so it's not.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Only quoted
okay.
for simplicity purposes by $100,000.
Okay.
But if it's $450,000, then they would take that factor and multiply that by the tax rate for that year.
Thank you very much. That's helpful.
And also, if I may, Mayor, just to wrap up the discussion about the sales tax and about lean years and being able to use that to supplement the general fund functions. Irrespective of the financial situation of the city, this money, when set aside in a special account, would need to be spent on the streets. That flexibility does not exist with this tax measure.
So it's making me a little bit nervous, and I suspect it may make folks who are watching a little bit nervous. There was one tiny little caveat that it could be borrowed and replaced. There are some little loopholes, and I just want to can we tighten those up? Can we say no? You can't borrow it for any purpose.
You certainly may in your decisions. The law provides that that's available. Again, Mr. Pichet accurately identified that there is something that can be done within that fiscal year. Anytime a loan is made from a fund, one fund to another, you have to identify, to be consistent with the law, how that loan is going to be repaid, when it's going to be repaid. In this case, it has to be repaid within this period. This is not the type of transaction that would be available, really, to the council, because the money would have to be replaced. And in a fiscal emergency, that's not an issue.
Madam Mayor, if I may, and maybe Mr. Pichet can help me out with this, but through the life of the loan, there are annual disclosure statements that also need to be made that basically indicate the status of the bond issue and how that bond is being used. And any deviation from that would be difficult because it would adversely likely impact the rating that you received in the next issue. So you're pretty well held to the promises that you made, because otherwise it would adversely impact you.
Okay, that's very good to have that kind of a disincentive. Okay.
Promises made about how that money would be spent on streets and was actually used for general fund items. I wrote Mr. Perrault, and he gave me the information he just gave you, and the information that I got from longtime citizens was wrong. But the perception is out there, and you have to address it up front. In addition, I think it needs to be explained that if all the money from Measure X was spent on streets, it's about $500,000 a year, it would not really have much impact, because we have such a huge job to do, estimated at $48 million. I also feel that you should talk about the total cost to replace the streets is, I think, $105 million if we do nothing until the streets fail in 6 to 8 years. Assessments will be based on increments. Again, we talked about that. And that the assessments are based on the assessed value, not market value. And that assessments will be lower for long-time property owners. We know that because they purchased their property when it was less valuable. Therefore, their assessments are lower.
Mm-hmm.
And bond monies will go in the separate fund. Again, we already talked about that this evening. I agree that we should limit the ability to borrow from that. That is very scary, and I heard a lot of noise in the audience when that came up. Also, the Citizens Oversight Committee, which you already talked about. And you also talked about the $48 million is the maximum amount of the bond. And then if we, as Mr. Nichols said, don't spend 48, we won't issue more bonds. Also, how other funds will be obtained and used for non-residential streets improvement to help supplement the bond. You talked about that at the last meeting. And why only property owners, not other users such as renters and out-of-town visitors, are being assessed for the repairs. That question comes up. Property values may not increase as rapidly as in other cities because of our poor streets. We need to find a similar city with good streets and compare property values to show the impact. If streets fail, attracting new business will become even more difficult, and businesses and residents may leave the city. Emergency vehicle response time may be delayed due to travel over poor or failed streets. Those are my points. I'm sure you guys have many more to add. But once again, I have to emphasize that if we don't educate, this won't happen. I want to thank the council for their willingness to take on this unpopular and monumental task. And that, if successful, will make a big difference in the future of Grover Beach. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are really helpful. Any other comments? Please come forward.
Thank you, Council, for this opportunity. My name is Wayne Allen, and I've been a longtime resident of the Five City area, and I've been in Grover Beach for 30 years now at 975 Rose Court, property owner. Now, as I see this, in 25 years, we're going to need to do it again. Mm-hmm. And this brings up one of the key questions. What type of quality are we going to put into these roads? Obviously, we could put a slim little coating of oil and say, okay, it'll hold it for a few years. Or we could put something of value that's going to last longer. I would like to hear that addressed somewhere along the way before we get going too far. What is the quality? I think also we need to let each property owner know whatever their assessed evaluation is, how much is this going to cost them over the to give them an estimate of what they're going for. We're going to have a hard time. I'm basically for this if we're going to do it in a very legitimate manner. I will help on it because I obviously the roads need work. Now, I have some specific questions. What does our gas tax go for? Obviously, it can go for the freeways and bridges and so on, but does any of that come back to Grover Beach? I'd like to know that. Because if it is earmarked for that, that should be part of the money that we're considering. That shouldn't be just dumped into our general fund and we use it willy-nilly.
We'll answer those for you.
Pardon me?
Right here.
Yeah, we will definitely answer. That's a really good question. Yeah. So I'll take a note of these, and we'll answer them all at the end.
So and I'd like to know what tax money right now is being earmarked at the present time, because I've come to the management people about this over the last year or so, and they say some roads are being done right at the present time. So I'd like to know that should be continued along with this $48 million bond. We shouldn't just say, okay, we're going to delete that funding that's already earmarked and put that into a general fund to be used and who knows for the roads. Those things I think you need to tell the general public if we're going to sell this and get 2/3 of a vote, which is almost an impossibility unless you really have a good sales.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to come forward and comment? Please do. Please just step up. And we got Susan Gates, so that's good. Okay.
Thank you for your time. I'm Todd Jarman, Grover Beach resident. I'm just here tonight to voice my support for Grover Beach United and the fine work that they're doing to bring a car show to Grover
Beach.
Can
I ask you to come back when we get to that subject? We're
okay.
Not quite there yet,
okay.
But when
I'm
we
sorry.
Get there, we'll go into that
my
one.
Bad.
You'll get a double. You'll get a double shot at it now. Anyone else want to come forward just on this one?
Hi, I'm Linda McClure. I have a business, and I own property in Grover Beach. I think the bond is really important, and I agree it's going to be real difficult to sell this to people because of past performance. This bond needs to be thought about, worded right. If you're not going per 100,000, you really need to make that known because somebody may be having a 220 $20,000 home thinking they're going to have to go to the $300,000, which isn't mm-hmm. that much, but for the properties I own, it's quite a bit. Okay, so when you're doing this, you got to really, I know you have a really good staff, and I know you put it down, but there's a lot of people that are very untrustworthy, and it's a shame that it's become that because we have a completely different council. We have a different group of people that are doing things now, and I think that you do it very, very well. So, well, I hope so in a minute. But there's a lot of us that are supporting you. I want you to know that. There's a lot of negative talk about where will that money go, and I think that the mayor's absolutely right. You need to make that where it's really money for the city streets, and no, you don't go out and borrow it because you can't pay it back in a year. So you ought to try to figure out a way to word it that way that'll really make a difference for the people out here. I haven't talked to anyone that doesn't think we are horrible with our city streets. And Grover Beach United is ones that are trying to, you know, find money for the city streets, even if it's just the potholes. But if you word this right and you really get the news out and hold meetings, get the Ramona Gardens open and bring people in there that don't understand, I think that you will have a very good chance of getting this passed for a change. But make sure that that shows you don't go and borrow it for any reason.
Thank you.
Good evening. Tom Rader, business owner and property owner at Grover Beach. I think you should also look into tying this to the charter city thing that you had on the ballot last year. Because if in doing your charts, if you can show the public how moving to a city charter, or I think it's the right term, with the amount of monies that you might not need to issue. So therefore, it lowers the amount of funds that you'd be asking the public to bring, and it ties those two issues together. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to come forward?
Ray Barlow. I'm a resident of Grover Beach, and I'm also a utility worker. Anytime that you work on the street, you're going to find something that's unsuspected. You're going to dig up something that you didn't find, that you didn't know was there. I just want to make sure there's some kind of set-aside fund that you make sure you can repair the facilities that are under the streets at the same time as you work on the streets. Because any time you work on the streets, you're going to find something you didn't know was there. And that's my only comment.
Thank you for that good advice. Dial 811. And one of the things we have been doing is we've been creating some unexpected things by putting in fiber optic conduit whenever we open the streets. And so that's one of the things we've talked about as a council is when we're digging, can we dig once? Can we throw in the fiber optic? Can we consider undergrounding? Can we work with PG&E on that? And so there have been, we're looking at that. It's the best way to use the money. It's going to take a lot of planning, and it's a great suggestion. Thank you for that.
Sewer and water.
Sewer and water, yep. That's what we've done, and that's why we have fiber optic conduit in half of our commercial and industrial area. So thank you. Brenda Auer again.
Yeah.
Got any good ideas for us?
Well, no, not on this issue. I was in Mexico. They say bad roads bring good people. I believe that.
That's interesting.
I think we need our streets fixed, no question. I live on one of the worst. My road's red. But that's okay. You know, I think, though, some of our efforts that we've made to repair them are probably not proper because I know I'm not going to say it, but I did work for an asphalt company. A real good understanding. The other thing is, are we going to be married to the company that we hire to do the streets? Because we've seen last time when we spent three years ago, whatever, however long it was, when we worked on Grand Avenue, how it had to be torn up and redone. Let's not waste our money. Let's make sure that if the company we're working with is not doing it right, that we're not married to them for the 20 years. Some of us don't make it that long in marriages, so let's just put a safety net there. And I think that was it. Those are the most important issues that I have on it. I think we need new streets. But back to, let's find a way to make money off the people from Grand to the Strand, okay?
Oh, Grand, Strand, and Sand. We're going to have a competition. Anyone else want to come forward? And if someone could get the mic over to the other side of the room, too.
Hi.
I'm Miriam.
Hi. I'm Miriam Shaw, Grover Beach resident. I just want to piggyback on what some of the other people are saying. I very much support the bond issue. We've got to fix these roads. I really don't want to ask the voters to write us a blank check. I think we really need to give them a solid plan on how this construction is going to take place. I know we can't lay out all 20 years, but maybe we could start by telling people, where are we going to start? Maybe give them a general plan of which roads are going to be fixed first. If I were on the council, I wouldn't want my road to be fixed first and have it perceived in a negative way. If we tell people what's going to happen before they even vote for it, they won't be surprised later. Also, if we could tell people that we're at least going to make an effort to do bike lanes or do sidewalks where we can, and then know what people can expect and what they just can't expect for the money. I know some of the streets may need to be narrowed. Let's let people know what the plan is with that. If we end up with $48 million and not have a good plan to use it, what's the use? Also, just to assure people that we are, if we are, going to redo the foundations of these roads. We're not just going to slap a coat of something on top. We're going to do it right. So if we can give people a plan with all the education for what they're going to spend, hopefully they'll be more likely to support this issue that we really need. Also, when you answer questions, I know you talked about the sales tax issue, but I know as I've spoken to voters, people have mentioned that there have been past bonds issued to fix the roads and that they weren't properly spent. And I had never heard about that, but if you could address if that's been done and if it's a rumor, please quash that rumor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sharon.
I just have a few questions, and it's going to show my ignorance on the whole bond issue. But did I hear that the amount floated for any given year on a bond was determined by a three-year... how it can be spent in 3 years? If that's the case, does that mean that, I don't know how to put this, but that you have to wait for 3 years and spend that before you can issue another $5 million or whatever? I just don't understand how it's all done bond wise. The other thing, two other things. Is it any of this impacted by Prop 13 owners? And how is the ordinance changed? Can council change the ordinance over whatever? Because what we're really determining here is, as far as voters, they're really approving the ordinance. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're being asked to do. And that's where all the nuts and bolts are. So down the road, can that be changed? Can sections of the ordinance be changed? Those are my questions.
Thank you. Sharon Brown from Grover Beach. We appreciate that. You can have 30 seconds.
You know, I'm not going to show up very often, so you can be done with me. But and this is my own ignorance, okay? Because I try to stay away from here because it gives me high blood pressure. I get all excited. On that note, I understand there's a state fine coming down the pike somehow for the situation with the sewer plant from 2011. If I'm wrong, correct me. But don't you think we should see, and I know that will affect Oceano, Rio Grande, and Grover. And
thanks.
If you'd find that out for me, Debbie,
I will answer that at the end. Thank you. Anyone else want to come forward? Okay. Well, thank you all for your questions. They're very helpful. And what I'm going to do now is to try to address all of those. I'm asking the council to help me with that because I was taking notes on suggestions and questions. So I want to make sure that we don't miss anything. So we bring it back to the council. Mayor Pro Tem Lee, yes.
Yeah, I'll let staff go where they're going to go. I just want to make sure that the first one out there is if you have a $400,000 house, you're not paying $6,400 a year in taxes for the bond. Well, no, it would be $624 based upon the 156 times 4.
I used average.
Can you let us just deal with this now?
Okay. Yeah. So that's the annual so budget would be approximately that. So maybe Ms. Hours is stating a different figure, but on an annual basis where everybody pays their taxes, it'd be approximately that 625 or but that would be the maximum.
And that's the maximum.
Yes.
So that's
at
the maximum amount for just that one year.
Annually.
The most ever. The most ever in 2034,
for
2020 something.
For a $400,000 house. Okay. Yeah.
It's average of $84 based on the numbers that were presented over the period of the bonds. Say $84 per $100,000.
Okay. Right. So, and I think
people are going to hear, really. You know, that's all they're going to hear is those numbers. So.
And I realize that Ms. Hours is taking that and multiplying it by the 25, but mm-hmm. for a budgeting purpose, so for on an annual budgeting basis, it would be that much significantly smaller number.
So the suggestion was can we give someone an idea of what their total expenditure over the total period would be? That was the question. What would that be on a $400,000 house?
Well, you would take the average over the period, multiply it by the number of hundred thousands in the assessed value or any portion thereof, and multiply it by the number of years that the bonds would be in effect.
I think we can come up with a formula,
a little amortization table. I don't want to try to do that right up here right now.
I'm sure we can do that.
It's a good suggestion.
So, yeah.
And perhaps then maybe this ends up being for comments later. So is even if, I mean, let's say, for instance, that it was $6,400 over the course of 20 years, the opportunity for the improvements to the roads, to the assessed value of your house, in the market value of your house, we could anticipate is going to go up significantly more than that $6,400 that you're paying over the course of 20 years. So maybe that's another way for my brain to look at it is the investment that you're making on an annual basis is going to increase, anticipated to increase the market value of everyone's homes individually on a much grander scale.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to address the question about is the sewer district going to come back and bite us here at the city? And the South County Sanitation District is administered by the mayors or the president of Oceano Community Services District, or Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach. However, they're a separate district, and they have to raise funds separately. So will it affect us directly as Grover Beach as a city? No. Will it affect the ratepayers? I don't believe the fine. We have no idea when that will come down. It sometimes takes years and years and years, and we do not know when it will come, and we don't know how much it will be. None of that's been quantified yet. I think that the relevant point there is that we have had deferred maintenance all over the county, all over the country for many years now because we've been in a very severe depression, recession. And so everybody now is coming and saying, if you want the services, we need more money. And I do think that that is, of course, something that we need to work very hard against. And there is no question with the water issues facing the state that our sewer rates and our water rates will probably have to go up. Now, the water rates we do control here in the city, and the sewer rates are controlled by the sanitation district, even though we bill them out. So in response, I don't see that specific item as being a major issue on the immediate landscape. However, yes, we're fighting against a whole lot of people who need more, a whole lot of agencies that need more money, and that's going to be a decision by the public which ones get it. And so, yeah, that is a tough call, but not maybe on that specific item. So other questions? Did staff want to take a stab at
Why
some of that?
Why don't I go ahead and just run through the list
sure.
that I have, and then the city attorney and other staff members can help out.
That's great.
First, how will the streets be built, and what kind of, in essence, treatment will they receive? Our pavement management program certainly will help us with this, because the experts have gone out and analyzed the current condition of the street and determined what kind of rehabilitation is going to of whatever happens with the bond issue, include a small piece of Brighton, a small piece of Nice, and then South 7th, essentially from Grand to Rockaway. So that's where those dollars are going. Property tax, yes, there's property tax collected, and we get 17 cents on the dollar for every property tax dollar that's collected in the city. So realistically, we get almost the smallest portion of the tax pie, yet we're responsible for providing all of the essential services. Let's see, where else have we, there are, the property tax runs about $3 million per year. That is probably sufficient to pay the costs of law enforcement in the community, and everything else is over and above that. So that just gives you an idea. Our total budget is roughly $7.4 million. And property tax is the largest contributor, but as I've said, that makes up almost just about half of our existing budget. Let's see. Will there be time? You know, what about a plan? Essentially, yes, we'll need to develop a plan. You're talking about a long period of time. I think what staff will be recommending to the council is that we're going to work on a series of projects that will work deal with our worst and most failed streets first, and then we'll be working out towards more the streets that aren't quite as in difficult condition. In terms of the question regarding are you tied to any one contractor, no. This will be done essentially. There'll be a group of projects that will move through the process probably almost on an annual basis. Each of those will have to be independently bid, and so the likelihood that you'd end up with the same contractor is pretty limited. In essence, all contractors would be able to compete for those same dollars. In terms of a maintenance program, will this, in essence, take the place of a maintenance program? The answer to that is no. The question is going to be a difficult one to deal with, because if some of you may recall, as the Public Works Director has indicated, if all of our streets today were in good condition, which they're not, the maintenance budget would be about $1.6 million. Currently, we're spending $500,000 in less per year on the ongoing maintenance, and that's one of the reasons we have the issue that we have. The other point I'd like to make, though, that the investment in the streets will also be an investment, hopefully, in the community. Between that and the efforts that we've got underway with trying to get a couple of the hotel projects going, et cetera, the hope is that as we go through this, we'll be building the local economy, and the ongoing revenue base will grow enough that it'll be able to pick up some of that maintenance requirement. Will that all prevent having to do this in 30 to 40 years? I wish I had that kind of a crystal ball to say that in fact was going to happen, but we don't. In terms of the staging in how quickly can you go through this, Actually, what will happen is once the first bonds are issued, yes, they have to be used in 3 years. That's a basic requirement. If we find that we're actually moving through it quicker, and this will be subject to ongoing review by the council, but it may be that it may be advantageous to actually begin getting things done sooner, and in that case, the dollars could be moved forward. You could be doing more early on, but then what the council will have to weigh in making the decision on whether to move forward with that issue is what impact it actually has on the existing tax rate. So it's not essentially like the ship will sail and you'll never have an opportunity to bring it back into port again. You know, you'll be reviewing these decisions, managed, as Brown asked.
Yeah. Thank you. With regard to the questions, and I think the other part of what Ms. Brown asked was, you can have two series of bonds issued at the same time. It's just the limit on 3 years is on spending the one that's issued, but you can move forward with the next issuance, as Mr. Peralta identified, during that three-year period. That doesn't preclude you. With regard to the ordinance, what the ordinance does is basically puts the measure on the ballot and authorizes that measure to be put before the voters. Once that is done, that ordinance is done. There's no reason to change it. There's no changing it. What governs after that, assuming that the voters follow and approve the issuance, what governs then are the documents that are related to the bonds and the documents that are related to the tax issues. And very briefly, if Mr. Pache can address the controls that are in place, the council will not have the ability to say, well, we're changing the ordinance, we're changing the bond, we're going to use the money for something else, or we're going to do something different with it. That's just not a possibility. These are very controlled. These are subject to IRS regulations. These are subject to review by bond issuers. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do with a series of bonds, you're not likely to get the opportunity to issue the next series. So there is no wiggle room or ability of the council to change this. This ordinance is only moving the item to the county and authorizing that it be placed on the ballot. Once it's before the voters, voters will vote on it, and the outcome will determine on how we move from there. And then basically the ordinance does not become a document that controls what happens afterwards.
Thank you. So we had, and I'm hoping the council will chip in if I don't catch up, tying up the loose ends here on questions also. Utility tax, where does that go to? What do we use that for?
It's general fund and has been for a number of years.
Okay. And how is the oversight committee chosen? Who chooses the oversight committee?
I believe it's done by the council.
The council will appoint three.
Council appoints.
Citizens for the oversight. And one other item, I think there was a question on Prop 13. And the only thing that Prop 13 controls here is basically the assessed value. The assessed value, again, is not the market value. If somebody purchased their home 25 years ago for $60,000, short of some increases over the, even though the house may be worth $500,000 or $400,000 now, it's what is on your tax bill, the assessed value on which you are assessed the Prop 13 taxes.
You know, we've had that question a couple of times, and I'm wondering if maybe where people are going
2%,
with
2%, right.
I'm wondering if, and so that doesn't go up rapidly, but I'm wondering if where people are going with that is, should Prop 13 go away, and will that change property values, and will that affect the cost of the bond and the cost to people?
That's a question. If Prop 13 goes away, which is beyond imagination, but if it does, I think that it would not be retroactive, and assessed value of your home is the assessed value of your home, and it would not reach back and
it won't reach back, but it could have forward implications if they quit. If Prop 13 changes, somehow, then that 2% rate could be much higher in terms of how property can be assessed. And I'm wondering if that's the concern that we're actually hearing here.
And I don't know.
We don't have a crystal ball.
There is no you know, accurate answer. Predicting the future is a really dangerous business. But
right. And that we don't control except as voters.
Right.
Okay. The charter was suggested. Maybe you could clarify a little more on that right now.
Certainly. The council, through formal action, has instructed staff to, at this point in time at least, to forego pursuing the charter to put on the ballot. This money will be spent over a period of next 20 years, 25 years. If it is the desire of the council at any point in time to revisit the issue, and if charter if Gore Beach becomes charter city, then certainly if prevailing wage is not the law of the land, the funds that are estimated for street repairs are based on prevailing wage, and there'll be more money available to build build more streets or build streets longer if the job work is not done with prevailing wage.
So I think that we're getting some questions on that, because there was a point in time at which
were issued for street repair that was.
So we have issued no bonds for street repairs. So moving on from that, the people go, well, why don't you get it from sales tax? So can you address that, what the half-cent sales tax?
Well,
we did just discuss that a bit, but maybe repeat that one.
There's a couple of things. One, again, the sales tax, because we have such a low base, if you were to raise it again by, let's say, an additional 0.5%, you'd probably see something in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $600,000 a year, which certainly would help out, but it's not sufficient to do the work that we need to have done. The other point is in terms of placing a ballot measure, if those funds were restricted to street repair at a half-cent sales tax, even with a half-cent sales tax, it would require a two-thirds vote as well.
Okay. And so one of the other things that I'm hearing out there is, well, you know, why can't we get some of those other people who use our roads to help pay for it? And I'm aware that some of the taxes that we receive are from the other people who use our roads. So, for instance, the gas tax is paid by everyone who buys gasoline. It's not just paid by the residents or property owners. The sales tax is paid by anybody who buys anything in the city besides food or medicine, I believe. And I'm trying to think if there are other taxes that come in that are not paid by property owners or that are not exclusively property owner taxes but come in through outsiders using our roads.
We receive some transportation tax.
Transportation tax.
Right.
How much? Can you give us an idea of what that looks like?
What's that?
I don't recall what the amount would be.
It's a small amount.
$100,000 or so.
Actually, you receive some dollars that come in. You hear it, local transportation fund, and those dollars are state and federal dollars that come in and initially support the transit system up front. And if there are leftover dollars, you do get to dedicate those to the roads. That's, as has been said, $100,000 to $150,000. In the past, they've helped, and they continue to help in putting together kind of a patchwork of a funding program for street repair. But none of them they're not collectively sufficient, nor is there any likelihood that we'd see any improvement or increase in any of those areas.
So those funds contribute to street repairs, but they're used more to leverage other funds.
Sure.
And when you say patchwork, you mean a patchwork of funds, not patchwork on the streets. Okay. And The other thing that comes in that is more of general is we get a tremendous amount of grant assistance for our more public streets, our arterials, our bigger streets, and that's not funds that come just from property taxes. They come from further afield,
right.
and so the general public who's using our main streets very indirectly is contributing through the grants that we receive, which is why we've done the streets we've done, because we can get grant aid for the main streets, but we can't for the residential. Anything else I've missed that folks think we should cover?
The only comment that I saw that we hadn't covered yet was Mr. Barlow, who I think has left the building, was with regards. Oh, sorry, sir. So was with regards to a contingency. So that, and if if I remember Mr. Ray's presentation previously, was that the estimates that were developed that came up with the $48 million did have a contingency built into those estimates,
right,
for unforeseen circumstances.
And any contract that's bid has a contingency amount that's included in it, and the estimates were inclusive of that.
Okay, great. Just wanted to confirm
and
that.
May I make one more comment?
Please, yeah.
I'd just like to comment on Miriam Shaw's, she had said something about if she were a council member, she would not want her street to be on that list. And the fact is I would not want to deny my neighbors that opportunity. So if the pavement management system came up and said, your street is one of the worst, which I know it's not one of the best, and if I were to deny that, my neighbors would have my head. So
we'd have a dead council member.
So I'm leaving it up to the pavement management system to determine which streets are those that should be done first. And if my street happens to be one of those, I'll let that go. I mean, I will let it be one of those streets. So I want my neighbors to know that. I'm not going to.
Well, and I think, too, there is a small section of Brighton that has been earmarked to be done for probably 5 years now. Hasn't
longer than
yet,
that, actually.
Okay, we haven't had the funds to do it. We prioritize every year. We prioritize, try to find the best mix of streets to and bits of streets to fix, given the limited funds that we have. To me, I find myself a little bit concerned because there's an argument here. We're supposed to argue pro for it. Now, I can argue for the bond we've put on because we've worked very hard on that and we're taking a lot of public comment. But to argue pro in favor of voting for it, to me, seems as though it steps over that line, and I'm wondering if you can help me with that one.
Certainly. Until that is placed on the ballot, or until it's submitted to be placed on the ballot, this is permissible.
But when it's on the ballot,
I guess
we've basically given an argument as to why you should vote for this.
That is correct. The election code provides for that, and it's permissible under the law.
Okay. Interesting election code. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, let me wade into where my brain thought we were going on that. So with regards to the argument in favor, obviously if we vote in the affirmative to put this on the ballot, if I remember correctly, there's a kind of provision for us to sign as effectively an author of this in favor of it. As soon as it becomes a part of the ballot, so to speak, we as city council members, in our capacity as city council members, can't arguably favor in favor of it solely. We can provide education from here, but we can't lobby for it from here.
The law provides that no city resources or funds or any basically resources from the city are used to advocate, to promote a position. That means that city staff on city time on behalf of the city should not be advocating. City council members on behalf of the city and city's name should not be advocating. However, that doesn't preclude any individual, any one of you, from stating your position, whether it's for or against, on a given ballot measure, talking to residents and basically letting them know how you personally view this measure. It doesn't preclude also the city staff and city resources to be used on informational factual campaign, and that item was coming up on your agenda in, I think, a couple of items. And that is providing the voters exactly with what we were talking about here today, and that is accurate factual information as to all of the issues that surround this proposed ballot measure, whether it is explaining difference between a special tax and a general fund tax, where you do have control, where you don't have control how the funds are used, whether in detail explaining the costs, all of that information that was, most of it was actually covered in great detail tonight, is factual, informational. It's not advocacy. It's just education. These are the facts. This is what it's going to cost. This is what it's going to do. This is what control the council has over the money. This is what control it doesn't have. These are all factual things. And the voters are encouraged to come and vote and make up their own mind on how they want to view this and what they think of the facts that are provided.
Madam Mayor, yeah. In reference to the question that you've asked, if I could draw the city attorney's focus to the argument in favor, it says, we, the Grover Beach City Council, voted unanimously to place this measure on the board. Is there any difficulty with that language, given the fact that they may had already taken the action to place the measure and subsequently draft the argument?
No, there is no issue with that.
If that's a fact. We did vote unanimously. Okay.
Not yet, but
right. Well, we voted to bring it forward to the next hearing. Okay. Yes, that's true. We've yet to vote, and we don't know how that will go. I had one question on the actual wording of the measure, and I'm hoping this isn't going to throw a monkey wrench in the works, but because people have been so concerned that it be exclusively used for the streets, I'm wondering if we could take out four words and insert four words. So where on line 3 it says improve drivability of Grover Beach streets, if we could just say improve drivability, because we know we're talking about Grover Beach streets, and then down on the second to last line where it says with all funds used locally, take locally out and say with all funds used exclusively for Grover Beach streets. I'm thinking that might help people feel, it might help confirm for them what they need to have confirmed to feel comfortable about voting. Again, that's a council, need council feedback on that one. So in other words, basically I'd like to add in that all funds used and then add in exclusively for Grover Beach streets, subject to independent audit, citizens oversight committee.
Requiring funds go directly. Can you say that again?
So in what I'd like to put in, and then we can talk about what I've taken out.
Do you like the city name up higher in the measure itself? But
I'm kind of along the same lines with Councilmember Bright, but I like the direction, the specificity of putting it the used locally exclusively for Grover Beach streets.
The reason I'm not too worried about the of Grover Beach after the drivability is because we're listing a number of other things that we're using it for, and we're not modifying those with of Grover Beach because it's already a city of Grover Beach measure. So if you see other things that you think could come out instead, it just seemed to me that that was some additional verbiage that we maybe didn't need, but I do think that the people of Grover Beach have said we need to be sure that it's exclusively for Grover Beach streets.
Mm-hmm. And that's true.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've got enough words out or in or whatever. So to rehabilitate, resurface, deteriorating residential and major streets residential and major Grover Beach streets, but used exclusively for Grover Beach streets. So we basically say Grover Beach streets twice. I'm not sure what I've taken out, though.
That's the word count doing.
So to rehabilitate, resurface deteriorating residential and major Grover Beach streets, maintain emergency response times, enhance safety, so forth, with all funds used exclusively for Grover Beach streets, subject to independent audits.
Well, you only take out one word when you do that, you take out of and we take out locally,
but
we're adding one, two, three. Well, I think Grover Beach is one word. We're adding four, so we're still two words ahead of the game.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Yeah.
I think
too many words.
You were proposing to remove to improve drivability, correct?
No.
That's what Mayor Pro Tem was.
Oh, you're proposing to remove drive.
Yeah, so it becomes to rehabilitate, resurface deteriorating residential and major Grover Beach streets.
You know, drivability was, I think, the second most important
yes.
thing to people.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And so what I'm trying to get to here is what people said was most important to them.
Right.
And they know it's Grover Beach. We all know that.
I'm assuming we can't shorten Grover Beach to GB.
you can.
Can we?
But that wouldn't be.
Or we could call it Grover, but still.
It would still be one word.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, can we take Grover Beach and make it city? So it becomes drivability of city streets? Mm. I don't know if that gets us enough words.
We're adding three words, essentially. So, four words. Exclusively for Grover Beach streets, that's four words because Grover Beach is one word. So we're adding four words. We have to take four out. And the reason for that is that we can only do 75 words on the ballot.
How about if we go...
Could we just do... How about Grover Beach Street Rehabilitation and then get rid of the Grover Beach throughout?
Yeah. Grover Beach... Where are you? Where
we
is that?
We just title it Grover Beach Street Rehabilitation.
And leave out safety improvement bond
no,
measure?
No,
no. But I'm
and
confused
then,
about where
okay,
you're talking about.
At the very beginning of the mm-hmm. measure, where it says street rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
Grover Beach street rehabilitation.
Oh, and take Grover Beach out everywhere else.
Yes.
And then say exclusively for city streets
mm-hmm.
instead of Grover Beach streets.
If you want. We can't because...
Or used exclusively for streets. Yeah, we could say exclusively for streets because everybody knows it's Grover. Okay.
I don't.
Does that do it? So Grover Beach Street Rehabilitation, is that what you're saying? I'm losing it
that's
here.
That's an idea.
The line. Okay, so that adds two words. Then we take out
the drivability of Grover Beach streets.
Okay, so that takes four words out. I need a counter here.
Just take out Grover Beach. So
and just use exclusively for streets. I need I need somebody sitting over there to figure this out. to make
as
sure
as
we
soon
get.
As we have.
Mm-hmm. After, okay, so if we say, so what we're going to say then is we're going to say Grover Beach Street Rehabilitation. So the first line is going to have Grover Beach in front of it. And then the mm-hmm. third line, we're deleting of Grover Beach streets.
So far we've lost two words.
We're two ahead.
We're two ahead.
Yeah, we've got two to help us out. Grover Beach Street so we add in Grover Beach at the very beginning, so that's adding two. Then we take out four.
Adding one.
That's adding one. We take out four. Thank you, audience. This should be a game show at this point. We take out four mm-hmm. of Grover Beach Streets, which is, no, that's taking out three.
Yeah.
Okay, of Grover Beach Streets. So add one, so now we're two ahead, as you said. Then we're taking out locally in the second to last line. So that's three ahead. And then we're adding exclusively for Grover Beach streets, or exclusively for city streets. So we have one too many.
We could also do enhance pedestrian safety, get rid of that four. There's one more word, enhance pedestrian safety. Get rid of that four.
Right, right. Okay, then we've got it.
That still make us one. If we added Grover Beach, that we'd still be.
Yeah, I like Grover Beach rather than city, but Grover Beach is only one word.
No.
Isn't it in this ballot? It's one word.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
It's one word. So we've got it. Yeah. So.
So hang on a sec. If we're.
To recap,
if we removed of Grover Beach streets, That's four. Now it's three. So we're down. We're one short again, or we're one long again, I should say.
I don't think so. Try one more time. Grover Beach Street Rehabilitation Safety. That adds one word. Then we take out of Grover Beach Streets. That takes away three words. So we're at two. Then we enhance pedestrian safety. That takes away one word. So that gives us three to play with. And then in the second to last line, we take out locally. Gives us four to play with. And then we add in exclusively for Grover Beach Streets, which is four. Yeah. So we're four for four.
If I may bring your attention to the fact.
Okay.
Please. No, please.
If you change the grammar in enhance pedestrian safety, you make the rest of the sentence, I'll say, not flow. There is a reason why it says
enhanced safety, for pedestrians,
bicyclists,
drivers.
You're right.
Yeah,
enhanced
that's true. It does.
Safety.
It does.
Yeah.
So now we're one ahead. Now we need to get rid of one more. Sorry?
Get rid of neighborhood.
Yes, school crosswalks.
I think neighborhood was recommended
by our consultant.
Consultants.
Okay.
It's
never like that.
Okay. Well, we know we can't do the one, but we've got Grover Beach Street Rehabilitation Safety Improvement Bond Measure to rehabilitate, resurface deteriorating residential and major streets to improve drivability, maintain emergency response times, enhance safety for pedestrians, bicyclists, drivers, neighborhood school crosswalks, and promote local economic job growth. Shall the city incrementally issue up to $48 million of bonds at tax-exempt interest rates, requiring funds go directly into the street construction designated fund, with all funds used exclusively for Grover Beach Streets, subject to independent audits, citizens' oversight committee? And that has one too many words. I'm not. Does anybody see where that is?
Promote local.
What line is that?
Oh, promote local. Three, six line down. Promote local economic job growth. So just promote economic job growth.
Yeah. That's. I think everybody knows it's gonna. What do you all think about that one?
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
We know it's local. We know it's about Grover Beach.
We're saying local all over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's good. I think that's a good idea.
Thank you, audience.
Takes a village.
It takes a village. How does the council feel about that?
And promote economic job growth. Yes, I mean, we're talking about...
That's our number one priority.
And we're talking about... we start with Grover Beach Street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think
right.
We'll get it.
It's clear.
Everyone will get it.
And I think with this one, we do address... what the public is telling us their concerns are more clearly. Do we have consensus on that one?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
I think I'm good with that.
I think that was the last thing I had to raise on any of this. Anybody else have any other comments they'd like to make on any of this before we go for a motion?
I think I'm commented out.
We did actually, Mayor Pro Tem Lee said he would like to wait on the wording.
Made comments about the education process and the outreach, and I think we're going to do that in a little bit, and you can anticipate we're not going to, I don't think anybody in the city wants to move forward without an outreach program, because that's where it's going to be beneficial to make this a success.
Ditto. So could we have roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes, so that's unanimous, and I believe we need another two motions on this one.
And I'll keep going if that's okay. That I recommend that we adopt the resolution, or I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution setting priorities for arguments and directing the city attorney to prepare an impartial analysis.
I'll second that as well.
So we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Lee, a second by Council Member Bright, and could we have roll call on this one too, please?
Yes.
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 Yes, unanimous again, and then we need our third resolution.
And I'll keep right on going by recommending or making a motion that we adopt the resolution authorizing rebuttals.
And I will second that as well.
So same again, Mayor Pro Tem Lee moving and seconded by Councilmember Bright, and we need a roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes, so that's unanimous. The next item on our agenda, I'm wondering, do folks need a little break before we go on? We've been here for over 3 hours, or shall we just power through? We need a little break? Okay, sorry guys, we need 5 minutes, but literally 5 minutes. At 8:45, I am going to bang this gavel. Thank you. Number three on our agenda, which is application for a special event permit by Grover Beach United for a first annual Grover Beach Street Machine and Muscle Car Nationals 2014. And the Police Chief Assistant City Manager Copsey and our Parks and Recreation Program Director Petker will be presenting this.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. Thank you. This evening we are bringing to you a special event permit application by Linda McClure on behalf of the Grover Beach United Club. They are proposing to have a street machine event. It's essentially a type of a car show, as you mentioned in the title. This is going to be proposed for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 12th, 13th, and 14th of this year. And it is planned to be in the Ramona Garden Park Center and surrounding area and neighborhood streets. City staff has met with the applicant a couple times, and we reviewed the preliminary application that was submitted and the supporting information. In your attachments, you have what was submitted in the original application, and you also have some additional conditional application requirements, and you also have the information that the applicant resubmitted regarding the request for information. This type of event is basically a glorified car show, but it also has autocross, muscle cars, motorcycles, pro touring motorcycles, 18-wheelers, and maybe even more. This is a big car show enthusiast event. This could possibly bring thousands of people into the city, and it would include participants and spectators, music, food vendors, sponsors, and beer and wine garden is proposed. And this is also a judged event, so the entrance would be judged on their vehicle or their entry. Based on our Grover Beach Municipal Code, this is required to come to you as a public hearing because it is proposed to have more than 500 people in a public area, which is why the process kicked into place for staff to review the application and inform the applicant of the requirements and conditions before it came to you. And here on the overhead, we have the map of the area for your information of how it would be proposed laid out. The Ramona Garden Park Center is here, and this is the North 10th Street. And in the yellow area is where the proposed vehicles would be parked, and also the red lines are the proposed road closures. And then we also have the bank area is a potential area for 60 vehicles if approved by the private party. And then we have the post office and the back parking lot here that could potentially hold 50 vehicles. And then we also have the upper north 9th area to Brighton and the proposal for the bus area, transit area to be moved up to Brighton as we do working and trying to get their permit information to you. So at this point, where we're at is providing them information on what they needed to provide to you on this application. Some of those items that you see in your attachments are still pending in your attachment number. Two. Attachment number two shows the items that were completed with the application, and it also shows some items that are still pending. So this the reason why this is being brought to you this evening is because the applicant had requested it since the time frame of the event is approximately 2 months away, and that they would like to know if they would be approved to move forward in an effort to continue working on the required conditions according to the municipal code. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the chief for the conditions of approval and the designations.
Thanks, Kathy. And members of the council, this was a little bit challenging in the fact that the municipal code, there's two sections that really deal with conditions of approval. The first section deals with the application conditions, those that the applicant is required to complete in order to bring this to the city council for review and approval or denial. And the second is kind of some of the conditions are carried over into the conditions. Once the permit is approved, those conditions will be conditioned based on the permit. You know, the difficult part is in order for an applicant to move forward with some of the planning processes, they'd like to know if the event might be approved. So that's where the request was to bring this to council. And as Kathy had mentioned, some of the items that aren't completed, one I'd like to highlight, for example, is on the attachment 2, number 6. It talks about detailed explanation of plans to supply and plans to do some specific items. Food and cooking facilities, for example, have not been, you know, it's a pending item because they, in order, you know, to attract vendors that they wish to attract, they need to know whether the event's going to be approved. And some of the other conditions, for example, the traffic plan, we've worked on the map a little bit. We have some concepts in mind as far as how that might work, but until the event is, you know, the applicant feels that until the event is approved, they aren't able to go solicit, for example, the private parking lots in order to attach or get additional parking for the event participants. So, you know, at this point, we're limited a little bit to on-street parking because that's something we can control. We can't control their private, you know, person unless they were able to get that ahead of time. And without an event, actual event, that's kind of hard to do. So those are some of the challenges that we ran up against that deal in the city code regarding having everything completed for city council. But those are some of the items that the council may wish to require before approval. As the code does offer that a number of these items need to be looked at, partly for the public hearing so that people know, you know, and in fact, what the event is so that they can comment on, and the council knows what the event specifically is so that they can approve or deny the plan. The next item I wanted to address are some of the conditions that we went through, and those are in the item attachment 4. It's basically a list of the conditions as specified in the city ordinance. And there's probably about 25 of them there. Staff did go through and add a couple at the end, specifically with an ABC license and a business tax certificate, which is required anyway. We want to make sure that was one of the conditions. Some indemnification. And, for example, on the ABC license, that's something that ABC won't issue until we have an event that's approved. And so that's something that still needs to be worked out. And that is something that will be is not specified in their conditions for application to council. So, you know, they're kind of separated between the two, the application for conditions and then the conditions afterwards once it's approved. And those will be hopefully met. Staff is, because of the concern we had with some of the items not being completed and that are still pending at the time of the preparation of the report, staff discussed with the applicant regarding when those conditions can be met, when the total amount of funds can be paid to the city for staff time and equipment. And, you know, the commitment was that all needs to be completed in its entirety and the funds being paid prior to 30 days before the event, which was actually August 12th. So that's where we came up with the August 12th date. And if it's not completed, then the event won't happen. So that is something that's already been at least committed to by the applicant. Regarding that. So on the fees, I wanted to mention real briefly that we went through some of the fees. Additionally, the Ramona Garden Park rental fee is on top of that, and that's $788 a day for renting the Ramona Center and facilities. And because the event is being planned for part of Friday night and part of Sunday, we're just doing it for 2 days and not all 3 days, if that makes sense. We're doing 2 half days and 1 full day. So that was $1,576. So total, it would be the 67 plus the 1576. Anything additional that's required by the conditions will have to be borne by the applicant. So, for example, delineator or barricade rentals, because the city only has so much. We can't provide all of that for an event. Any private security. One of the requirements for the city code, per the city code, is for security of the event, whether that's police officers or private security or other means that's acceptable by the city. That'll have to be borne by the applicant. Any medical staff or fire department costs for planning or for the event itself. Any police officer time, if that's determined that that's needed or incurred. So some of those are some of the additional costs. So with that, the council has a couple, you know, there's a couple alternatives there. The council has a decision to decide whether or not they have enough information to approve the event with the conditions that are put there. They have the option of adding conditions if they wish. They can reduce or increase the footprint. If they don't feel that they want it in the neighborhoods or they want to increase it farther, they can allow that. There's several options that the council can do for that. The council can require that all of the conditions be met to make that final approval and have this brought back to the council. Or the council can give staff a little bit of leeway to work with some of the conditions with the applicant. And if staff is not satisfactory, staff will just not, we'll basically cancel the permit by August 13th, because that's, August 12th, rather. That's 30 days before the event. Or we can bring it back to council for revocation of the permit on the August 18th meeting, if that's so desired. So there's several options that the council can have regarding the event. So at this point, staff recommends that the event be approved with the conditions that we have listed there, and we'll be happy to answer further questions.
And I know that you all have worked very hard on this. I appreciate that, and I know that the applicants do as well. So thank you for that. Any questions from the council? Okay, we have no question. Oh, sorry, city attorney. No.
Just if clarification is desired on the issues of public hearing conditions and the conditions that are after the issuance. That's desired by the City Council, I can do that.
Let's hear that.
Okay. The code provides that, as the Chief identified, that all of the conditions have to be met, that these things have to be before you and before the public. That's why it's a public hearing item, for you and the public to comment and consider the issuance of the permit. 9 of the 16 conditions are unmet right now. They're pending. So, as Chief identified, you have some options. You can give a conceptual understanding to the applicant and have the item come before you for final action in a public hearing, understanding that, you know, that public hearing will be the place where the permit is either approved or denied. Or you can request that everything comes back to you when the conditions are met and then take action fully on it. Or you can vest some of the authority that the code provides for in staff, in the chief, understanding that that decision will then be made without any further public hearing on it.
So you're saying that we can actually take a decision to conditionally approve?
Well, the code doesn't provide for conditional approval. You can probably give a conceptual approval, understanding that that doesn't bind you to a final decision once you see the application, the 9 items that are remaining before you, and assuming that the applicant understands the same.
And you're saying that no matter how we look at it, it does have to come back to the council for the final approval, or can we leave that vest no. that with staff?
You can vest that authority in staff, whether it's chief or Ms. Petker or the city manager. Understanding that then the decision, the final decision with everything being before staff will not be made at a public hearing.
Okay. Thank you. Is that clear?
I think so. Okay. It does generate a question for me, though.
Yeah.
And question for staff. Thank you for the presentation. The conditions
that is run facilitated through the chamber in partnership with the city, so it's kind of a little bit different. So I don't have a list, but these are the list conditions they meet. These are the same conditions this event meets. The conditions that are listed here are conditions that are set forth in the code. So that's where the conditions came from. So, for example, bathroom facilities, it's a fairly standard to have so many bathrooms based on the participants that are there. That condition can be met on a number of different ways if we get into the technicalities of it based on the bathrooms that exist there, the bathrooms that are inside the Ramona Center and stuff. And Stone Soup meets those same conditions. They actually probably add more than what our code requires on that. So I don't know if that answers your question, but similar conditions are met, but we don't have those identified for Stone Soup as they are for this.
And maybe that's a distinction that may help the applicant maybe to say, or to assist the applicant in the furthering the discussions. It's like, how could they, and maybe this is a question for after the applicant comes up and does it, but let's say like for item number 8 on the conditions, it's provisions for cleanup of the premises and removal of rubbish after the event has concluded. Would a plan, how could that be satisfied that hasn't been done so far?
So, for example, the applicant stated in their response to those that one option, and now it's in attachment to regarding mm-hmm. Cleanup. So cleanup will be handled by a certain group that they've identified, or a different group. Trash will be placed in the trucks for removal. Is that sufficient to staff's concern? No. So actually we would probably require specific for the trash cleanup regarding that. So it's who's going to do it, how many you're going to have, what are you going to do before and after, and how are you going to do it during. So is trash going to be picked up during the event? You know, at what times? Are people going to be monitoring that? Is somebody specifically responsible? So we get much more in depth in the planning process of the event versus just a statement that's required or that's here as part of the conditional approval for the application conditions, if that makes sense. Okay. So that's how in depth we would get in the planning process.
And if I could add to that, we've talked to the applicant about working with the chamber on those requirements, specifically trash, because they partnered with a group and they've worked with the no waste program. So mm-hmm. we felt confident that waste program was went well at the Stone Soup. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that if this applicant was able to be mentored by the operation of a well-oiled machine with the Stone Soup, then that would be their benefit as well.
So to kind of continue that thought, if the Grover Beach United application came forward and said we're going to partner with, and maybe it's on letterhead, maybe it's on some other, what would satisfy this condition? A letter from that group saying we're working with Grover Beach United, and this is how we plan to do the trash cleanup.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we would like to see, is a third-party contract that states – sorry. That's what we'd like to see. What we'd need is a third-party contract stating, for example, Eco Rotary has agreed to do the no-waste trash pickup and provide 50 receptacles, and we'll do rounds every hour, for example. So, and there's a lot of third-party contracts that we would need confirmation on a lot of the services. And those are required.
Okay, so the actual agreement would be necessary before you could approve it.
Yes.
Any other questions before we open public comment? Okay, so I'd like it if the applicant could come up first, and then if there's any other public comment, we'd be happy to take that.
First of all, I want you to know that out of the nine that wasn't handled, we've already handled, but we can't pay for these items, such as the insurance, until we know whether or not we've been approved. We have people that are coming to us that are from either the Rotary Elks that have agreed to take over and do some of these, and they'll give us the contract once we're approved. If you look at what you have down that people are required to do before they can get anything approved, conditionally or otherwise, with the city, you'll understand why so many people don't do anything in Grover Beach. It's really, really difficult. The staff has been awesome. The chief is great, and they tell us what we do need. But we don't have enough money to partner with the chamber, okay, because we're doing this on a system that we're projecting what we believe will be coming, what we're going to have to pay, and we are getting the nonprofit status, which will take some of the costs down for us with our city, which is great. We'll be here any day now. It has been mailed, and we are nonprofit. We have the state, but we do not have the federal. Pay the permit fee or done any of the flyers to get ready for this. So it's kind of a catch-catch situation here. We need to be approved to go forward, to get more sponsors, to get more entries, to get more vendors. Once that happens, we're going to go so fast you won't believe it. What we intend to do with this Grover Beach Street Machine and Muscle Car Nationals, we plan on making this first and foremost an effort with all of our businesses to be participating in this, whether it's by a sale, whether it's by them providing the group with a merchant trophy, that merchant goes out, looks at everything that's there, and they say, this is the vehicle that I like the best, and they put that merchant trophy out there and stuff. And it'll be a nominal fee that we're going to be asking them to do. It's going to bring revenue, not only to our businesses, but to our city because of the sales tax. They're not going to just stay at the car show. Friday is mute as far as I'm concerned, though we will be charged for it because they're going to have to be putting up the roadblocks and stuff. But it's a sign-in, sign-up only, and I believe that all about 300 of the spaces that we are going to have will be handled. I was going to talk to Kathy and the chief about that one piece just past 10th, which has a small house and quite a bit of parking lot space. If I can talk the owner, who has actually passed away and now belongs to the trust, if I can ask the daughter, that'd be the greatest place we could put the motorcycles. So I would be asking that it just pass 10th Street to make that parking area available for the motorcycles that we anticipate are coming. But this is going to be something that no other area has. We're doing motorcycles. We're being big rig trucks. We're doing antique cars. We're doing, you know, brand new vehicles. If it has a motor, I have one guy who says, I want to be a vendor. I said, what are you going to sell? He goes, well, I make these little motorcycles, but they have a motor on them, and I want to sell them, and I'll only bring two and put them on the back of my truck. I said, great. When I can tell you, you can give us the money, we'll do it. So those are things that, you know, we'll be doing for the city. This will be a first year, yes, but we don't plan on stopping. Once we do this, we plan on going year to year and year. And, you know, 15 years from now, this is going to be one of the biggest events in San Luis Obispo County. We're trying to make this a national that they actually get points on this. And the guy that works for us at no pay at this time, nor will he get any pay until we start actually making some type of a profit, which I thought was great. He said it could take us up to 3 years. That's fine. We're not asking for anything either. He's putting these in 5 to 6 different hot rod magazines. Well, we missed a bunch of issues already because we haven't been able to say we're going to be able to do this. And one of your ordinances is, until you're approved, you can't advertise. I've spent over $3,000 in getting the flyers, the brochures, everything that's sitting in front of you, and very large flyers for the windows of our city here and stuff. And another $1,000-something for the permit process here, and we don't even know if we're going to be able to do this. I've talked to the other cities, and we need to update this ordinance that we have so that we can go forward, and I will guarantee you everything on what the chief has asked us to do, and Kathy, will be handled and will be done appropriately. We have the bathrooms ready. We need 20, I believe it is, to handle it. With what we have already there, that means we're going to get a row of 10 and put them in one section. I thought we had to have them all over the place. Thank goodness the chief said, no, just one row would be good. We're going to have a beer garden. I'll have Tom talk about that. And it's not just me that's working on this. Tom Rader has worked on this quite a bit, and so has many of the people that belong to Grover Beach United. We're a small group, but we're getting larger, and we're getting a lot of enthusiastic people that are just excited as heck that we're bringing a car show back. I don't know how many years it's been. I don't remember. I've been here for 50-some years and stuff, so I just don't remember the last car show we had. So what I'm asking is if you could give us the, however the attorney has mentioned it, the approval based on the fact that within 30 days prior to it, which I believe I can do before that along with Tom's help, the beer garden will have the bands on the arm so that we know and everybody will be checked out. And I'm going to let Tom explain that for you.
Thank you.
On the beer garden, I'll be operating with my catering permit at Mongo's, in which I have very strict regulations that I have to work with him on with ABC, in which the area is contained. And at the both the entrances, way of a design, we'd have one coming off of 10th Street, and then one that's kind of where the bus thing, one there, and then one over kind of where the buses are, so people...
This time, I mean, yeah, it would be awesome if we could get $1,000 from the city. Adam Hill's group has, you know, told me, asked for $3,000 from him, and we're going to send in an application for that. We do have a lot of people that are wanting to do sponsorships, but like I said, we just don't want to take any more money because Peter was full and Carol were fully aware that this was a non-refundable donation to our group. And we don't want to take money from people, then go, oops, now we have to give it back. So we had to wait to get to this point and stuff and all. But we worked very hard, a lot of long hours. Mm-hmm. I know the chief and Kathy have been awesome. The last meeting we had really, you know, put me back in the right frame of mind of where we have to put some of these vendors, which will be more in the grass area than what we thought, because, of course, you can't put the vehicles in that area.
So the answer was no.
No, it's, yeah, if you'd like to give us a little money, we'd love it, but we felt bad. We feel bad for asking, but sure, any dollars could help because we are going to get bigger and we are going to get better.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from...
Actually, I had one question. Thank you for the presentation, and actually this is a question for staff. So realizing that we have a sizzling summer concert series that Sunday afternoon, so what's the alternate plan for the city? If this event was moving forward,
we have done a condition saying they needed to be out of the building by noon that day, so they'll be completed.
Check out by noon.
Okay, yeah, I saw that the event would end by noon. So that includes cleanup and everything.
It includes at noon the cleanup will begin. Well, it'll begin before noon, but it'll be completed by around 12:30. I mean, we've got a lot. The only thing it may not get done, we did tell Ms. Petker that we will actually have the carpet shampooed whether it needs to be done or not in the building.
We got a
vendor for that. He said he'd volunteer that.
So hang on there for a minute because I wanted to ask staff a question too. So the rate that we're charging on the Ramona Center, is that the rate that's charged just for the building, or is there additional because they're using the park also?
It's just for the building, facilities, bathrooms, and that covers cleanup and different items for the building.
So even if no one used the park, it would still be the same rate?
Correct.
Okay. And then I'm wondering, are there any services that are being paid for by the applicant that are things that we might already be doing? I know that we can allocate a cost towards every hour you spend, but are there things that are being done that don't actually result in additional financial outlay from the city that we could consider waiving?
Simple answer is not really.
Oh.
Unless you consider staff time. I mean, it's, you know, staff doesn't have time to put on this event. That's why a private entity will do it. It's not something that we've planned in our time and budgeted for it. And some of the time will be overtime for public works and a cost for that. For example, renting the center, you know, we might think, well, that's an in-kind type of a cost. But in fact, there's actually maintenance costs that go along with that lighting building, and it's a fee that's set by council. And it's really up to the council whether they want to, you know, waive any of the fees and have the costs that the city spends on this borne by the city.
So we're going to have out-of-pocket for overtime for public works folks. And the salary situation of you all spending your time, if you weren't spending it on this, you'd be spending it on something else. So there's not additional outlay. It's just how the time's allocated. Is that right? And
pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's a cost to it, to the city, on what we spend on administrative costs. You can look at it that way. You know, we don't sit around and wait for this to happen, but... that's up to the council.
So, in terms of the fees, are you able to break out of the fees that they're being requested to pay? Are you able to break out which of those things are actually additional outlay of funds and which are staff time that don't result in additional overheads?
We have not broken the fees down to specific. A number of the fees are broken out in the master fee schedule when they came up with the fees, and I have not gone through that to say, okay, well, this can be charged, this can't be charged, we can give this away, we can't give this away. We haven't done that.
Okay, yeah. Because the master fee schedule is a master fee schedule, and I'm a little bit reticent for the council to just make decisions on that, but some of the other things where there may be some wiggle room might be worth considering. All right, well, we'll come back to that one.
There's a possibility, perhaps, since there's not going to be any activity other than putting in for the, we're going to have a raffle, we would be putting in the tables ourselves into the building Friday night, but we could actually have the sign-in, sign-ups either at my office or a personal guarantee that we will pay the city anything that we're supposed to pay them if we come up slightly short. And I think that Tom would work with me on that and stuff. I mean, what we're trying to do, and I think you all know this, we love Grover Beach. I've had an opportunity to actually sell my property and get one in Arroyo Grande. I won't do it. It's a good deal, but I won't do it because I don't want to leave Grover Beach. I love Grover Beach. And what we're trying to do is put us back on the map where we belong. I mean, we are a beach community. And I get, you know, people laughing, you know, why do you call yourselves Grover Beach? Because we are Grover Beach. And when we get done with this, after a couple, 3 years, they're going to know who Grover Beach is. And we're not going to be left out like we've been left out on so many little things like maps and things that go around and stuff. And so we're trying to do what we can to help not only our businesses, the other businesses, the residents, but our city. And I think that Grover Beach has taken a really bad rap over the years. You know, all I hear is how horrible our streets are. Yeah, well, look at a lot of stuff that Grover Beach has that other people don't have and stuff. I wouldn't leave here for anything in the world. So that being said, I hope you would really consider the fact of letting us move ahead with this, guaranteed by 30 days prior, everything gets done that needs to be done. And if you could waive some of the fees for, you know, not all of them, I mean just partial, because we've actually got a little bunny right now that we can work on, but I'd like to get some advertisement out there that may not be free. But we have a lot of free advertisement from the radio stations and some of the newspapers. They've all said, you know, let us know when, and they'll start doing it. But I think we're going to have to spend a little bit of money to make it go further, because I'd like to get it over into the valley to bring them over here, too, for this.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we'll invite the rest of the public. Is there anybody else who'd like to come forward and comment?
We can also get it approved. We can go talk to the people who are granting this weekend.
Okay. If you can give us your name and your city of residence.
Yes. My name is Ben Salome. Moved here about 19 years ago from Riverside, California. Mm-hmm. I live in Arroyo Grande now, but Grover Beach is in my heart, and we moved to Arroyo Grande logistically. But long story short, there are some of us in this room right now that are in anticipation of the lodge being constructed at the end of Grand Avenue and that coming to fruition. And then when that event happens, in my heart, I feel wholeheartedly that that lodge is going to be the best thing that will ever happen to Grover Beach. And I think the car show would be implemented also to be a catalyst, just like the lodge will be. What I'd like to see happen is that September 12th weekend, imagine a conversation coming from the valley, whether it be from Bakersfield or Fresno or Hanford or Tulare, a conversation that goes like this. What are you doing this weekend? Oh, we're going to go to Pismo Beach and stand 2 hours in line for Splash Cafe Chowder. Well, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to go to Grover Beach at a car show. It's going to be great. It's a catalyst for this community. And I believe Stone Soup, Harvest Festival, all these are catalysts. We need to get back on the map. So please approve this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to come forward?
Hello, Amy Rogers. And while my body resides in Napomo, like Ben, my heart's in Grover Beach. But aside from the potential revenue this could generate, I've already seen, and prior to the event being okayed, I've seen the outpour of such support and love from residents and business owners alike in Grover Beach. And just here in approval.
Thank you. We'll wait.
That appears to be a new look for you.
What's that?
That appears to be a new look for you.
Yeah, new look. Mike Neely, most people know me as Tex. I've lived in Grover over 20 years. I'm one of those motorcycle guys. But I'd like to say something about this show. It's like I've been going to these shows for over 20 years. I've been riding forever. And I've never seen one like this. Mm-hmm. I've never been to a show where they have classic trucks, off-road racers, hot rods, street rods, and motorcycles all in one. And the fact that it's going to be a national event where people from over the nation, basically, to get up in the points, they need to attend. So, I mean, you can have people from New York, you can have people from all over the country coming to this thing, and the first time when they go back home and say, hey, we had a great time here, great little city, and this, the word will spread. The big word here is national. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a member of the Roy Valley Car Club.
All the vehicles that are coming here to show and the people who are coming from out of town to visit the car show. I'm looking at this map and saying, where? I know what things are like doing Stone Soup, but they have the approval of the private parking, and that's just for participants who are visiting Stone Soup. Here, we're dealing with two separate things. One, those who are actually bringing vehicles to show in all different sizes, and then two, those who are coming perhaps from out of state. I mean, this is the dream, that they come from all over to see what is here, because it is going to be very different. So I would like to see a little bit more detail. And then also, as I was looking at my calendar, is it possible that all the conditions are going to be met by August 12th? And I think that all the conditions should be met before final approval is given. And I know that makes it tough, and I know that our regs are tough, but I think in order to be successful, you have to do it right to start with. Then I also have one question about those who are bringing vehicles to show. Are they going to, I think I heard registration's going to be on the Friday. Are they bringing their vehicles on the Friday? They're going to show on Saturday. Are they going to bring their vehicles in and out? Are we talking about 18-wheelers that are going to be making more than one trip in and one trip out? And if not, who's going to babysit them overnight on Saturday night? Those are a few of my questions.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public? And then I'll give the applicant a chance to respond to some of those questions.
Thank you. Ray Barlow once again. I live basically off 8th and Long Branch. I'm affected by all the events in Ramona Garden Park. My parking is tough enough just living there right now. And I think it's going to be a first year. I'd really like to give them a chance, and they have my full support. I think a lot of it's going to be not as much as they think, because the limited time involved for advertising and everything else is going to cut it down in size. So I'd like to really see if give them a chance and make this thing happen and let it grow, and as it grows, address the issues as they come. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else want to come forward? Okay, let's have the applicants back. Maybe you could respond to those questions about where folks coming to visit will park, where the vehicles themselves will be parked, and what's the situation with security and in and out.
On 4th of July, you have hundreds and thousands of people coming to Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Napomo. They all have places. They have motels. They have parking. There's streets that have street parking, and that's what's going to happen here. It's going to be the same idea with a lot fewer people. We are going to, but again, we can't do anything unless we get an approval today, conditioned upon getting...
Well, let's hear the answers to what your proposals are for these specific things.
Well, we want to go and talk to different people that have, for instance, where the old Mid-State Bank is. Tom knows the owner. We're going to ask him, can we use some, you know, his parking lot? We have other places that are the exact same thing. We have where Longboards used to be, or the King of Clubs. We're going to ask, can we use their parking lot? There's a vacant lot across. It's not full 18-wheelers. It's 18-wheeler cabs, okay? Just the cab, mm-hmm. Not the back part of it, okay? So they are going to be in different locations. Some will be in the motels that we have. Some will be in the motels in Pismo. Some will be in motels in Arroyo Grande, and some will park their cars on the street. Yes, they're going to bring their cars on Friday. That's not the sign-in, sign-up. It's the sign-in, you're here. We anticipate, if we get this approval, to have all vehicles will be parked except for where the Ramona Garden is. And at the garden itself, the park itself, will have vendors. But where the yellow is, we anticipate having vehicles and making sure that we have proper footage for any emergency vehicle that needs to go in. We also are hoping to have the fire department put up some kind of tent or something to show the kids things about the fire department and all, and have someone there available in case somebody does get ill and has to have emergency treatment immediately.
And so you've determined that there is sufficient space in the areas you've allocated here for the vehicles that you anticipate coming?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes, Chief.
So as regarding the number of vehicles, as Kathy mentioned, we counted the number available on-street parking. And it range, you know, it can vary depending on the size of the vehicles. So depending if it's a large, say a semi-truck versus a motorcycle. But the existing parking availability, the participant entrance, probably should be limited to 140 to 180, so depending on the size. So that's what the limitations are for the on-street parking. And then additional can be if they get off-street, you know, the Rabobank parking lot or other off-street parkings within the event, should they gain those permissions to do that.
So that's already been agreed and organized with the applicants?
Yes, and we can't ask, we've talked to Rabobank, who is very, very pro this car show, but we can't ask him to give us anything because we don't have approval.
Right, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
One more question. Yeah. Has nothing to do with any of the conditions of approval or anything of that nature, but explain why the term national event is, and the point system that, that you referenced. Why is that such a good thing? Why is that a...
In the circuit, there's, by being approved as a nationals, that by participating, and I don't know the exact point... Can't speak to the exact point structure, but by attending, they get points. By getting a best of show in their class, they get points, which then qualifies them to be invited to, a regional and then the nationals. So that's how the term, why we went and used the term nationals, and we got approved to do it.
And is there any other nationals locally?
Locally, no. Okay. No, this is something that Ron, the gentleman that he's put on car shows in Nevada and so forth, is that he got the approval for us, and so he got this done because he does a lot of stuff down in Pomona and down in L.A. and so forth, where the nationals are held.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, I think we'll bring it back to the council now. Thanks. And any comments from council members?
Yeah, I'll chime in on this if I might. I'm really concerned about the number of pending items, and I'm not ready to turn over that responsibility to our staff. I think the ordinance was written for city council approval, and if it were one or two items, I wouldn't be concerned about it. But where you have over half of the items yet to be approved, I personally am not ready to turn that over to staff. I think that's the council's responsibility, and I don't think the council should abdicate that responsibility. I think also that the idea is great. I support the idea of having this car show, having a national car show. I think they got started a little too late. I think that it's the first time they put this on. I think there's probably an awful lot of things that they're learning as they go along. But to have this large event and all of the complications that we can see by reading the application and all the requirements and so forth, there's just a little bit too much there to be done in the short period of time that they have it. It's something, had they started a little bit earlier, a lot of these problems probably would have already been resolved. So I personally think if they were planning this for next September, great. It'd be a year from September. Great. I am in for it. I support it. I think it's a great idea. I think it's good for the city. But I think it's a little bit too much right now. And as far as the conditions are concerned, I am not ready to abdicate that responsibility to staff.
Okay. But allowing them to move forward, resolve items with staff, and basically they've indicated support or ability to have the August 12th deadline met. And if we have to have another public hearing, we do that on the 18th. Everything's in place. They've had the opportunity to move forward. It's a one last item at their risk of whether we say no at that point. But having all of the items in place, I think there would be less risk from our standpoint, because all of the currently unknowns would be known by that point. So not sure if that helps the discussion or hinders it, but my support would be to move forward, allow them to do what they need to do, provide information to staff, and if we need to have a public hearing, to come back on the 18th or whatever that Tuesday is.
Thank you. Down at this end, what are your thoughts?
I'll go.
I think it's a great idea. I like this. I understand the concerns of my fellow council members, but I think it is too quick and too soon. It might be too much too soon, but let's give them a chance. I'm fully trustworthy of staff to give them the discretion to make the decision on whether to issue the permit or not. And if anything, I'd like to say, gee, I'd like to chip in, you know, recommend we chip in somehow by reducing a fee here or there, or, you know, maybe on the rental of the park. But at this point, I don't know if I could. I mean, I think we're giving enough as it is. But I would entertain if somebody else went that way. But in general, I do support it. And I would give the discretion to staff to go ahead and proceed with the permit.
Councilmember Bright.
Okay, thank you. I agree. I support it as well. I think it could become a great event for our town. I'm confused, though. I hate to admit it, but so what else is new? But I am confused. I don't understand what you mean when you say if we need another public hearing. I thought we do need a public hearing. No?
Let's get clarity. I got lost on that one too.
Okay. I think the decision is up to the council. What the ordinance provides for is that having all of the prerequisites met, the application is filed, the parking plan, the security plan, the bathroom plan, all of that is in front of you. It's in front of the public, and based on that, you make a decision on whether or not to issue the permit. The circumstances have been explained to you. They are not in a position to spend the money. So the option is you can either say, in concept, we approve. This is not an approval, but you fulfill all these conditions and bring it back on the 18th. We'll have a public hearing, take final action. Well, do you want to waive the fee for the second public hearing under the circumstances? That would be certainly.
So there's a fee for the second public hearing?
Well, there's a cost involved in doing this again. The other option is that you authorize the staff to issue the permit based upon conditions being met by a certain date to staff satisfaction. You're basically delegating your quasi-judicial function to staff. And you have the power to do that under the law. Whether you choose to do that is up to you.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the clarification. Okay. So then I would feel comfortable approving this in concept. I also have the greatest degree of confidence in our staff for them to go forward with providing the permit if they felt that everything was in place. And if there were no issues with the public, if, however, something comes about that you feel needs to come back to the council or public, there's issues, needs to come back to the public, I mean, comes back to us, then so should it. So I would be happy to go forward in that respect. So am I making myself clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good.
So I'll weigh in on this one, too. You know, traditionally we've had events at Ramona Park for years and years and years, and as far as I'm aware, we don't get complaints from the public. They know that's what we do there, and most of them, I would support giving it our conceptual yes and allowing them to move forward and really market it. So, and I know Council or Mayor Pro Tem Nichols has worked hard on this. Not Nichols, sorry, excuse me, Lee has worked hard on this, and I've certainly reviewed the ordinance at length as well. And I would be in favor of moving forward. And I too would support trying to do something in terms of helping with the cost. I'm not sure what that would be or what that quantity would be. So that's where I'm a little bit stuck.
Just as a maybe assistance to council, fees that are set by master fee schedule are the fees of the city,
right.
And moving away from those for any reasons requires certain findings and
right.
You know, something that would justify that, because there will be a future and future applicants.
Yeah, I can't advocate. I can't advocate moving away from our fee schedule, but there are some other fees that maybe aren't on the fee schedule.
And so, or perhaps just a different thought. The fee that's currently in the staff report is based upon a attendance of 5,000, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So let's say, for instance, we arbitrarily said we only think 4,000 is going to be here. How much of a savings would that provide the applicant? And I mean, realizing that 5,000.
I think 5,000 was a reduction done so in order to attempt to save some money. I mean, okay. Stone Soup is, I think, based on about that number.
Okay. Okay. One more question is on the presumption that we move forward and approve this evening in concept, and it moves forward and the event happens. Is this a one-year event, or excuse me, a one-year permit, or does it get renewed annually if they come back next year, or what process would they go through next year?
1 year.
So effectively this event permit would be for a single year. If it becomes as successful as everybody wants to and they get a system down, do we issue or could we issue multi-year permits?
The ordinance doesn't provide for that. It's a special event ordinance. Okay. Again, as time goes on, if it's the council's wish to look at the ordinance was designed with a specific thing in mind. I mean, there are certain requirements in order for a public to be able to say, yes, we're in favor of it, no, we're not in favor of it. And there are some other conditions that the chief mentioned that are post-approval conditions. In other words, here's your permit, and here are the conditions that you're still going to have to meet afterwards, and those are a little bit more oriented towards organization versus the public input. But you have the power to legislate. You can amend the code in the manner that you feel is in the best interest of the city, and just not before August 12th.
Well, that does raise something, and I think that it might be very helpful to get together a task force, maybe with Judith from the chamber and the chief and Director Petker, and take a look at whether the ordinance is a good thing in many ways, because we've got an interesting situation here of a first-time event and a first-time exhibitor, and so those things protect all of us. The city and the exhibitors and the public, and we've got the other thing, which is that we really want to be supportive of doing things mm-hmm. like this in the city. So I think maybe we should ask if we could agendize something along those lines, another look at it at a later date. We're not going to make those changes tonight,
right.
But if the council's in agreement, I think that we ought to consider. But that's another matter, but I think we should consider that.
And it kind of, if I can interrupt here for just a second, it kind of led to a question for me, is how come we don't see, if we're going to see this event next year for a permit, how come we don't see the Stone Soup as a annual permit?
It is my conjecture that because the Stone Soup was a city event, and it continues to be a city-involved event, that permit is not issued, because city doesn't need to issue permits to itself.
Okay. So what if the costs that we've discussed so far are not associated with either overtime of public works and our fee scheduling? Are there any costs in there that are being charged then that aren't associated with those two?
None.
Oh, rats. Okay.
And the fee for the Ramona Center is set by the master fee schedule. Now, if they were able to satisfactorily obtain proof of nonprofit, it's actually to the chamber. And that they have different requirements for the events.
Right.
So
there's some different
costs. It's a different type of a mix.
Okay.
Question, when would the fee be due? I mean, is this a fee that would be due by
on the 12th.
That August 12th date?
The fee actually was due before this came to council, so a month or so ago. But we have a commitment from the applicant that if this is approved, that they'll pay it within, I think it was a Wednesday from a week, whenever you're back. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Which was the 29th, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. But we wouldn't move forward if it wasn't paid 30. By the 12th. So, you know, that's 2 weeks past that. So definitely within the next week or so. That council can set a due date. They can set a delayed date. That's up to the council.
All righty, guys. What do you think down at this end? Any other comments or questions?
Well, I'm okay with doing half up front and half later.
You mean half on the 12th and half later, or half now and half later?
Well, half on the 12th and half later. I mean, if that helps them out to get going.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's not like you're unfamiliar faces.
The feds have our permit in the mail. What would the fee drop to?
It would. So the question, so the public can hear that, was once they get their nonprofit permit, how much does that reduce the fee?
Theoretically, that would be $331 a day for Grover Beach nonprofit status.
That's the reduction, or that's the full?
That would be the fee total per day, $331. So for Ramona, for the rental of Ramona.
So it's still going to be $6,700, and then it'll be $331, and then $150, or whatever.
Yeah, that reduces it about $900.
Looks like there would be
$914.
Wow, you're good.
It's right there.
I guess I didn't remember reading that. Okay.
Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion, and we'll see what happens. So I move that we conceptually approve the event permit, authorize the city manager or their designee to complete the processing of this permit, and to split the fees due and payable to the city into two payments, the first one being due on August 12th and the second one being due 30 days later.
And then before the event, which is
prior,
the 12th,
the
on the 11th.
Prior to the event.
Mm-hmm.
The event is September.
Mm-hmm.
September 10th.
Yeah. September 10th.
Mm-hmm. Is that even a good day? And this is...
That's a Thursday.
Yeah. And there's my motion.
And just for staff's clarification, the motion includes the requirement that all of the conditions... are met to the satisfaction of the city manager or his designee.
Or his designee, exactly. Yeah. That is
by the 12th.
By August 12th.
By August 12th, thank
with
you.
The exception of the fee.
With the exception
of the full fee.
The full fee. Perfect. Thank you.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Council Member Marshall, second by Mayor Pro Tem Lee. Let's do a roll call on that one.
So just a question just for the motion maker. So this doesn't anticipate any need for a second public hearing?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It's
okay.
All at the discretion of the city manager or their designee.
Okay, just want to make sure.
And if they want to bring it back, that's up to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're ready for a roll call then. Thank you.
Yes.
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 Yes, that's unanimous, and go forth and prosper.
Good luck.
Good luck. And I'm sure as individuals you can call on us for support. We've all said we want to help. Thank you. Well, they've been great. Thank you.
We just would like to present both the city with the first...
The official.
Okay, so for the camera, here it is. Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Super. I'll put that up on my window at the office. Bring me more. Bring us all more. Okay, so we're now moving to the consent agenda. And is there anything that anyone would like to pull from the consent agenda? Actually, that was a long time ago. I think we should have done that. I think I got out of order here.
No.
But we're good. Okay. Okay. Sounds like nobody wants to pull anything, so I will take a motion on that.
I will make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
And I'll second that with a comment on number five of thank you for the city attorney.
Advocacy, but it can educate and provide educational material to the general public regarding the general obligation bond issue. And in that regard, I did complete a solicitation process. I solicited proposals from two firms. One is the Lou Edwards Group, and actually it is the Lou Edwards Group that I would be recommending. The both firms actually were very qualified, came to us recommended by the folks that had done our opinion survey. The difference really is that in the past we've worked with Lou Edwards, worked with the firm in 2006 successfully in 2004. Consequently, that firm knows the community very well, and that's a plus. The other advantage was that there was a bit of a difference in cost, as noted in the staff report. The Lou Edwards Group came in just under $25,000 total, and actually the competing firm came in at slightly over $30,000. The other thing I wanted to obviously indicate the scope of work a bit. You'll get ongoing consulting services, which is a benefit to city staff and the council as a whole as we prepare for the campaign. And also I would indicate that this provides the funds to complete at least a couple of direct mailers to all the registered voters within the community. The other, as you'll note, I'm suggesting that the council, in addition to approving or authorizing the city to enter into agreement with the Lou Edwards Group, I'm also requesting a budget amendment. As you'll note there, the funds for completing an educational program were not anticipated at the time we put the budget together. So consequently, I'm recommending a budget amendment. I'm recommending an amount slightly more than the $25,000 in the contract. The reason for that is to give staff a little bit of flexibility in the event that additional costs become necessary as we prepare the educational materials in the coming months or so. The firm is ready to go, so that's another asset. And that concludes my staff report, and I'm available for any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions from down at this end?
None.
No.
How about up here?
Nope.
Oh, I just had a really quick question, and it was more of an approach difference between the two groups.
It was a little bit.
Yeah. So, and I did see that the Lou Edwards group included postage. I mean, just as
yes.
a minor difference,
mm-hmm.
they included postage where the
right.
other group did not.
That's correct.
I thought that was a. And then they're also proposing to provide us with their nonprofit rate.
Right.
Versus that. So I.
That's essentially the difference between the cost factors.
Okay. Well spotted.
That's, and I've seen that. I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty common.
Okay.
Sorry.
I have some suggestions, not too many questions. In first of all, to say that. Thank you for presenting both quotes, because I think that gave us a better perspective on why you made your choice, and the public also. And I have one question on they've discussed likely voter groups and discussed the fact that there may be a small voter turnout. And one of my concerns about that is first of all, how are they defining likely voters? And I want to make sure that they address the issue of how do we get more voters out, because that was one of the things that was brought to us in the last meeting by the consultant.
It's essentially the same criteria that FM3 used in identifying what is qualified as a likely voters. They're really pretty good at statistically looking at the voters that are registered, repeat voters,
and those that are likely to vote in a, let's say, a presidential election versus a gubernatorial election. This one will be, it's extremely important because at this point, with the way the governor's race is looking, it doesn't look like it will bring a lot of people to the polls. The other part about this is that something that staff recognizes will need to be done.
Vote on the charter. A lot of people don't do the last one because they're not certain. And I think that's my concern because we've had a very clear message. We need to get more than just the likely voters out. Is there any way of addressing any of that?
Unfortunately, the other part of this is you've mentioned the fact that the ballot and where you fall. The measures, local measures, and Donna can probably help me out with this, but local measures do often come at the end of the ballot. And where we specifically place, there are other measures that are likely to, for instance, Cuesta College is likely to come forward with a bond issue of their own. We don't have any control over the actual placement of where it sits on the ballot, so we may very well end up at the end, and that will make that task even more difficult.
Maybe, or maybe not. You know, there are different schools of thought on that.
Sure.
People that want to vote for it are going to look for it, and they're going to vote for it.
Or we might market it, vote last first, or something, if it's last. Yeah.
But they have a vast amount of experience in dealing with these issues, far more than we can imagine. And they've taken us through two successful elections.
True.
Both of them were not supermajority type of elections, but they understand the issues. They know what's involved in an election. And they represent many entities during this election. So they're focused on the fact that this is not going to be not likely to be a large turnout in November.
And then I'm just wondering if you had considered the city or the measure supporters having a booth at the Sizzlin Summer Concerts and or the Stone Soup?
Yes, we're working on that. Every staff meeting we dedicate from a staff perspective. The first part of the staff meeting is how we can get the word out. For the city booth at Stone Soup, that's a given. We will have educational materials available by then. Certainly, I've already talked to Kathy and Nora about having being present during the Sizzling Concert Series, and also having the staff member indicate that yes, staff is available to answer questions if and where we're located. We might set up a little area down towards the front there.
And I would volunteer to be, I'd take a stint or a day or a whatever as well, if you want to do that.
And I would as well.
Sure.
Thank you. And I noticed finally on the public information services on the TBWB proposal, they really gave an exhaustive list of some of the things that they might do, but that we didn't get the same exhaustive list from the organization that we're choosing. So I just wanted to make sure that the folks we're choosing were going to cover.
Well, and I think, again, the difference in the two is more directly that while the competing firm, offered a lot of potential areas for participation. The good thing about Lou Edwards is they really know the community, and they know what tends to work here, so they don't have to take quite a range in terms of recommending an approach.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's all I had. Unless anybody else has any other questions, I'll open. Yes.
One really semantical question. You guys will probably pummel me for this one. Is there a reason we're calling it a public education program and not a public outreach?
I suppose it's a little bit of both, but education in my mind goes beyond the term of simply outreach. Outreach is connecting. Education is informing. That's the difference.
Yeah. Outreach could be advocacy.
Okay.
Education is not. At least it shouldn't be. Yeah.
So I'm going to open for public comment. We have one member of the public. Did you wish to comment or question on this particular one? Oh, all right. So bringing it back, any discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion, if I can find it. I move that we adopt the resolution authorizing the city to enter into an agreement with the Lou Edwards Group. Do we need two?
Yes.
Okay.
Two. I'll second the first one.
So moved by Councilmember Bright, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Lee. Could we have a roll call on that, please?
Yes.
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 Yes, that was unanimous. Anybody ready to do two?
Yes, I'll go again then. Adopt the resolution amending the fiscal year 15 budget.
I'll second that.
So it will be made to the Board of Supervisors on August 19th that the surplus water of will be made available to the agencies at no additional charge, retroactive from April 1st, 2014, as was scheduled in the original agreement. And we thank staff for their help with that. And then, of course, there will be additional discussions after that, but that is how it will go forward to the Board of Supervisors.
What was the date again?
August 19th.
August 19th. Okay. Better write that one down.
And there were other things, but it's just too darn late.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Lee, anything to report?
Just a real quick comment on the visits handled Obispo County board is that Saver is coming. And then the secondary, which is the more important for the moment, is that U.S. Airways has added a fourth seasonal flight to Phoenix. So for the summer. So if anybody is coming from Phoenix or wanting to leave San Luis and then make sure they come back, they can do it through Phoenix four times a day.
Wow. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Great. You're right. Councilmember Marshall, you're
quickly
on.
Quickly, I'll do South County Sanitation. It was a very short meeting. We did the audit report. It was provided by Moss Levy. We got good glowing remarks, and so we hired him for our next audit next year.
So why did it take them a full year to come? This always bothers me. Why does it take them a full year to do an audit?
I don't know. I'm not an accountant.
I always ask that question.
It's a good question.
It really shouldn't take a year. Okay. Councilmember Nichols.
No, I have no report.
Okay. And I don't have any either. I'll be meeting, the EVC meets on Wednesday. So, Council Communications, anybody have any communications they want to?
One communication is that I saw the governor's office, I think it was on Friday, issued a further water declaration. I guess I'm not sure what the correct term is, but basically going to require municipal systems and so forth to require 20% reduction. Thank you. So in water use. So that I don't know if staff was aware of that or how that would impact us. But the governor is trying to step up the game of reduction and conservation.
I'm sure the word will eventually filter down to us.
And actually, that reminds me of, I did have a comment from a member of the public today who drove home from somewhere on Wednesday evening and said that there was a great deal of water flowing out of our sprinklers at the Ramona Garden Park. And
I'm frequently out there at about that time of night, and I haven't observed the same thing. I'm usually there between 10 and 11 at night. The sprinklers come on at 10. I can check and make sure they may need to be just moved a bit, but I didn't see any water running off of the park.
I think she was on the east side of Ramona Park, and her concern was that that there was water running down the street or on the sidewalks. She said that, and it couldn't have been too late, because she was able to film it. So she says she's got video. I said, send me the video, and I'll send it to the city, and we'll take care of it.
All I can say is I'm out there almost every evening about 10 o'clock when those sprinklers come on.
Okay. Well, when I get that, I will forward it, and we can address it accordingly. Any other council communications? Okay. City Manager, any reports and comments?
Just a little bit further follow-up on water. You've already, Councilmember Bright has already talked about the declaration. We do have internally a task force. I just want to remind you of that, that meets once a week just prior to staff meetings. On that task force is Public Works Director Ray, Chief of Police Assistant City Manager Copsey, the City Attorney, myself, and the Administrative Services Director. And we meet on a weekly basis to discuss the implementation of the Phase 3 and Stage 3 and what kind of progress we're making. To that end, in terms of reducing water, you may already be aware of this, but we're reducing water by cutting water to Mentone Basin as well as Costa Bella Park. And if you've been down there, you'll notice it's already browning out.
And then the other thing, I was approached by a tenant today who was very disabled tenant who was very concerned about her water situation, and the bricks make the toilets not work, so she had to take the bricks out. But she said she doesn't have low-flow toilets. And so my question to you is, are low-flow toilets available to tenants, or do they have to go through the property owner to install
those toilets? Most likely, I would think they'd have to go through the property owner.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give her some more information.
Or at minimum, they would have to have their
sign-off. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll get something out to her tomorrow on that one, because she's going to have trouble getting in. Any other? Okay. I guess I don't need to ask that. It's time for the city attorney's reports and comments.
None tonight. Thank you very much.
Okay. So could you announce the closed session items,
certainly,
please?
It's the intent of the council to meet in closed session on four items, three of them being conference with labor negotiators on GBPOA, the Grover Beach Police Management and Confidential Employee Association, and the unrepresented employee groups management and confidential employees. The last item is existing litigation, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach.
Thank you. So it is 10:24. We're going to recess to closed session. We'll be back and report out.
And you guys better make it snappy.